y'all. 97.5 The Fanatic, 6 o'clock on this Tuesday night as we get to run with you until 10 o'clock. Devon Givens with you. Tyler Zuli is here. We're back in the mix here during the evening, and I had some fun during the morning show with the John Kincaid Show. That was fun on Friday and Monday. We're back at it tonight and the rest of the week until 10 o'clock here on 97.5 The Fanatic. It is NBA draft week. While it may not be what it used to be here in town during the rebuild, where not even just the rebuild, once they started to make the playoffs and you were still all the way back to 2018, get a top 10 pick. We know how that worked out. And then in 19, being able to draft Matisse Thybul. And after that, what is 19 and 20, you get Tyrese Maxey. So there have been things that have happened here still with the draft, but obviously not the same buzz as before. And they have one pick this year, and that is at number 23 on Thursday night in the draft. They could keep it. They could send it away as part of a package, but they will be making the selection on Thursday night, whether it's for them or for another team in which they're drafting a player for. But we'll get into all of that. We'll talk about some things with the Sixers. Specifically, we'll start with Tobias Harris. We'll speak about him. We'll talk about some news that's out there. Also, a little tidbit out there, not only with the PJ Tucker part, but also about another current Houston Rocket, where some audio was put out there from ESPN, Brian Windhorst. We'll speak about that as the free agency period gets underway 8 days from now. So we have the draft on Thursday, and we have free agency next Thursday. It's all falling into place like we always have, just not a lot of buzz like we usually get. We'll get into as well the little leftovers from me with the Golden State Warriors winning. Go Dubs. Beating the Boston Celtics. You know I'm thrilled about that. Phillies have a two-game series against the Rangers as they look to take another series and take both of those. Some other Sixers stuff out there, a little Eagles conversation. And a side topic, as always, where we try to have some fun with you during the evening show as we go until 10 o'clock. So I wanted to start really with Tobias Harris as we get ready and get closer to the start of this draft on Thursday. We're going to begin to hear a lot of names, whether it's Harris or Christian Wood being traded to the Dallas Mavericks. That came out of nowhere, kind of, you know, for that particular player. And while his name has been out there, it's been rather quiet for his name in any deal, and he goes to the Dallas Mavericks. We'll start to hear some other things with the Russell Westbrook situation as we get closer with the Lakers and Kyrie Irving at an impasse right now with the Brooklyn Nets and their contractual situation, trying to get the extension. Who knows what's going to take place there? But as we hear these names and free agents for next week, Miles Bridges, etc., what's Miles Turner? What's his future with the Indiana Pacers? Does he move on? One name that you know is going to continually come up from the 76ers is Tobias Harris. So I wanted to start off, as I get a text from my cousin with the angry face bringing up the Boston Celtics thing. I love you too, but hey, go Dubs. It's one of those deals where Tobias Harris, when we speak about him, he played the 12 games in the postseason, all six in each series, and he was really good, averaging 17 points per game, 7.6 rebounds, and 3 assists a night, and a steal. I thought he did pretty well there as well. You look at his splits as far as the shooting goes with Tobias Harris, 50% from the field on 13.5 shot attempts per game, 38.6%. So we'll just give him the round off of 39% from beyond, with close to 5 attempts a game, which is really good, 86 from the foul line, and inside the three-point line, 56.2% for Tobias Harris. Now, his second half of the season, really second part of really all of March going into April, where they, you know, they faltered a little bit down the stretch, where they lose to Detroit. That might have cost them number 2 overall seed by themselves, as they were tied with Boston and Milwaukee for the number 2 overall seed. But that being said, all of that stuff, Tobias Harris, I thought, played really well during that stretch, closing out the regular season and then carrying it over into the playoffs. Now, that was the playoffs with his numbers at 17 points per game. His regular season, typical Tobias Harris, he was at 17 points per game, 7 boards, 3.5 assists, so still that 3 assists. He elevated his defensive play a little bit on the perimeter, where I thought he played really well on both ends of the floor. And he shot 48% from the field, normal, 36.7 from beyond. Again, right around a little bit higher in the playoffs with that number. And he took two more threes a game, which is really good in the playoffs, and shot close to 39%, 84 from the foul line. That's normal for him. And 52% from inside the three, two less field goal attempts from inside the 3-point line because he took more on the outside. So he had a good season. Tobias Harris always has a good season. 73 games played. We know he missed a few because of COVID related, none because of injury. We know the steadiness of him. He is your power forward at 6'9" in this league of smaller power forwards in terms of what their level of play needs to be, and especially you can get away with it with 7'2" Joel Embiid and the monster that he is there on the low block and as a defender as well. So with him, my question as we start things off, he has value to this basketball team. But what is it? Because it did take him a while to adjust when James Harden got here. Was that more of a result of what James Harden's style of play is? Tyrese Maxey's play elevated when James Harden got here. He played well already, and it seemed like he played much better when Harden got here. And B was his normal self. Matisse Thybulle, all the things that we talk about, and while I'm disappointed in his level of play, his level of production, and his elevation of his offensive game, right, and all of that, that's not there. We know he played a little bit better because of the passing from his point guard, James Harden. The one who suffered, the one who had to adapt the most, and the one who kept quiet, the one you didn't see the bad body language on the floor as a result of lack of touches. And then the other part where it's kind of, you know, he's ignored is the lack of play calls for this player is Tobias Harris. Now, I'm not making him out to be Paul George, Jimmy Butler, DeMar DeRozan, any of these small forwards or power forwards, in his case, if you will, a wing that's playing the power forward position. I'm not making him out to be anything more than a good player that he is. I don't think he's a very good player, like, you know, one of those guys that we say, look, I thought he should have made the All-Star team last year over Ben Simmons because I thought he was a little more productive early on. And Ben Simmons turned it up in the month of January, and therefore he made the All-Star team, where Tobias Harris was still good enough. Not last season, the last season together where they played here and they were the number one seed. I'm not trying to make him out to be anything that he's not. He's certainly not a great player. Heck, I don't think, like many, he's a max-level player as far as his contract goes, but I ignore that at this point. The only reason we have to pay attention to it is because of what this conversation partly will be about. His number on the books and what that might mean in any potential return if he is in fact moved, since the draft is this week. He's a good player. He's a valuable player. But he's not untouchable. And he might be the one that will net you the most back in any potential deal this week if they do in fact try to get an extra piece. Now, we did a show a few weeks back once the season ended, and it was about the third star conversation, where Tyler and I discussed it, we talked about it, we agreed, and mostly you did as well out there, Sixer fans, that you don't need a third star. Now, I don't think Tobias Harris is a star-level player. To that point, he is a star in a sense because he is a 17-point-per-game scorer. He can give you that. On average, he's a star-level player in this league, but not a third star like we believe that Daryl Morey wants. We believe he wants an all-star level player, someone that's going to really, really elevate you and take you over the top. And does Tobias Harris do that for you as this player? 17, 7 boards, gives you about 3 assists a night, available all the time, up and down 3-point shooter. We all know who he is at this point. Do you realize he has played 4 seasons here with the Sixers? Doesn't that seem kind of weird that he has played 4 seasons with the 76ers? I really couldn't believe it when I was looking at some of the numbers and looking at his overall career numbers there and his seasons. And he has played 4 seasons with the Philadelphia 76ers. Boggles me that he has played that long here in town. But with all of that, whether you're a Harris fan or not, I think we all can agree that the one that could net you the most in any potential deal will be Tobias Harris. He has been here for a while. Everyone knows who he is. My question, though, around the league, as you try to get information on what he is, everybody likes him, but nobody loves him. And it's one of those deals here in town, right? Many people like him. There's a good majority of people that don't love him. Is it his fault that he doesn't get play calls for him now? Did you see enough when he was the number two offensive player once Redick and Butler left and Ben Simmons was the type of offensive player that he was where he would still get his 17, but he was also looking more to get everybody else involved and get them their shots? He was the number two. Was it enough? For me, if you heard me talk about him in the past, I like him, but a lot of times his numbers, I'm not going to say hollow because we know what hollow means. But there are times when I look up and he has 22 and I'm like, Tobias Harris had 22 and I don't remember anything about it. Now, is that his fault? Is that just who he is? Is that with them not doing enough to get him some good shots in certain spots where his numbers just, they just happen. His numbers just happen. They're just there. And in the end, he said, oh, Tobias Harris had 22. But I think we all know when you say Tobias Harris had 22 and you don't have that oomph to that 22, they were just 22. Now, it's not easy to score in the NBA. He is a professional scorer. That's not easy to do. It's very difficult to do. And somehow, some way, he does it. With the three moves that he has, he does it. It's not a knock. He has stuff that, as my cousin is listening and we talk about it, this is something that he taught me growing up. Him and my other cousin, they taught growing, you have to have 1 to 2 dribbles and that's it. And that's your move to get your shot off. Tobias Harris can do that. And that's not easy to do. To find your 1, 2 dribble pull up, 1, 2 dribble, pick the ball up, finish at the rim with the long strides, 1, 2 dribble pull up or pick up and then floater and, or 1, 2 boom pass to an open man to get an easier shot. That's not easy to do. And he is very good at it, but very limited. Now, as I say it, and as we talk about him, as this draft is here and we're getting ready to find out who's going to be on the move, not only here in Philadelphia potentially, but also who's going to be on the move around the NBA, how that may impact the 76ers and what they do. What do you think the 76ers should do with Tobias Harris? I get the sense, folks, that as much as I believe they want to run with Embiid, Harden, and Maxey as their three, and maybe try to find something else to be that third, quote-unquote, third star to come in, or that third star that would then knock Maxey down, but he's still a very good player. We heard the Bradley Beal stuff. We've heard Donovan Mitchell. We've heard the Zach LaVine conversation. All of these names that we hear, Tobias Harris is going to give you 17. He can give you that. Maxey can give you 17. He's probably going to give you about 19 next season as his level of play elevates, his standing with this, with the scoring and where they might want him, drawing the plays for him, elevates a little bit more in year number two as a starter and with James Harden in the lineup next to him. What do you think the 76ers should do with Tobias Harris? Should they run it back and keep him as the fourth, quote-unquote, star in the starting lineup? Or should they look to improve the starting lineup and with him being the piece that has to go to bring you in maybe someone that can give you 17 to 18 on average like he does, but is a better overall shooter or a better overall defender where you can count on him to be that type of player where he can give you a little bit more than what Harris does with the 17, but the other body of work maybe picks up in a different way. Because for me, personally, I do want them to move him. But I want them to move him for that player that I talk about, where I want that other wing player. I want that guy who can come in, all right, he's going to give you 18, but man, he's going to give you a problem on the defensive end. And when Embiid and Harden break down the defense and they kick the ball out, where I'm not scared or wondering or crossing my fingers or watching it like a sitcom where Carlton Banks is shooting a three and you know how it goes in slow motion and you're wondering if it's going to go in. I want it to be better than that, where I believe that shot is going to knock down when it leaves the fingertips of said player. That's not Matisse Thybulle. I'm talking about someone better as a shooter in this case because of what the league is and what this offense is that can give you a better touch from the outside. I don't know who that is. I don't know. I mean, I can name stuff and hope that Daryl Morey and Elton Brand have already identified it, put it on their whiteboard for Thursday night if a trade goes down and they do something like that. Is it Harrison Barnes? I'm not the biggest Harrison Barnes fan. He's a better three-point shooter. You feel more comfortable. He has deep playoff pedigree because of what he's done with the Golden State Warriors, but that was a long time ago. Can he still be that same type of player? Is he more productive than Tobias Harris is if Sacramento calls and you have to ship him away with the 23rd overall pick? You know what I'm saying? So what player is that? Do you want him to be younger? Is that player available to the 76ers? We haven't heard many names in that kind of area, that tier of NBA player. So far, we hear the big names. We don't hear much of those middle-tier names. We don't hear that. Bobby Portis decides to opt out of his contract in Milwaukee. While I want Bobby Portis on my team, too, I don't want him being my starter. Does that mean I want him taking Tobias Harris's place? Not necessarily, unless you get a three-man who's going to then come in and be that wing player like that, Jason Tatum, Paul George, Jaylen Brown. Maybe that level of skill set, maybe a tier below that. I don't want anyone to go that high because you can't do that. Maybe a tier below that if you go out and get Kevin Huerter, if we talked about him. Is Kevin Huerter a name that you would like? And then, yeah, Bobby Portis for me in the starting line with his physicality? Sure, I can live with that, but I also need somebody who can defend the wing. So maybe Bobby Portis wouldn't work, and that's where other things then fall into place for me as a basketball observer. But for him specifically, he takes a lot of heat in this town. But there are a lot of people who like him, too. I would say it's a majority. You know what? It's like a 56-44. And Tyler's shaking his head where it might be a 51-49 type of percentage for Tobias Harris. I'm not asking you to call in about that. I'm asking you with the 4 years that we've seen him. They have yet to get past the second round. He has been here for three of them, of the four where they've been eliminated. And it might be time. It might be time where a shakeup is needed. Or like Greg Anthony. Or like Kenny Smith said when Pat Egan talked to him, we had the questions for him on the morning show. Is it time to stop making these moves? Time to stop tinkering with this lineup and just leave it as is, correct the things around the edges, and finally have that depth that's necessary for this basketball team to take it over the top, to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, which is not the goal. The goal is the NBA Finals, but first things first, get to the Eastern Conference Finals and then take that next step like the Milwaukee Bucks did a couple of seasons ago. Like the Boston Celtics did this past campaign, like we saw the Toronto Raptors in 2018, to do that, right? To do that, 2019, to do that and put this basketball team in their right place, which is in the championship round. Is it time for the Sixers to move on from Tobias Harris? What do you think they should do? Or is this now a case where you want to see them run it back and stop making moves, where every year we see a different roster out there, a different starting lineup out there for the Philadelphia 76ers. We knew what the core was. It was always Embiid and Simmons. Then you got Redick. That became a part of your core for two seasons. Until then, that's when they decided to start moving things around. Yes, the Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris trade happening in season. But when that didn't work out because Butler and Redick left, because you couldn't figure it out, Horford, Richardson, Harris, they're your next three with the other two. Good starting lineup, ultimately didn't work. Boom, Horford out, Danny Green in, Richardson gone. Now you bring in Seth Curry. Okay, cool. Now you got to make another move because Ben Simmons is unhappy. Harden in, Curry gone. Drummond's part of your bench, out, right? Now you have to adjust again. At some point, you need to have some stability with this basketball team when it comes to the starting lineup. So maybe that's where you are, where Tobias Harris needs to stay. with Maxey, Harden, and Embiid, and they need to figure out that Green Thibault situation. Although Keith Pompey says some nice things about him working out in Phoenix, in Arizona, and he's in the gym with the Sixers coaches working on his shot. This is his first full offseason as a professional where he can just work on his shot, work on his offensive game. But I'm already at a point where I think I need to elevate that fifth starting spot over Thibault, who will be your defender. Green can't play because of the ACL-LCL injury. Now what? So let's start there. On this Tuesday night, 2 days away from the NBA draft, 610-632-0975. What do you think the Sixers should do with Tobias Harris? And what do you want them to do as well? Do you want him to stay? Or do you think it's time for him to go and bring back a necessary package of players, whether it's a star maybe on his level that fits best with what the 76ers and Doc Rivers want to do with their offense and defense? Or is it time to just let the four come back? He figured it out in March and April and in May with the playoffs. Let's try that again and see if it works before you go and start to change the lineup one more time without seeing what the result could be. Or is it something a little more deeper with this basketball team? That's where I want to start with you tonight as we are a couple of days away from the draft. Tobias Harris, key part, last four seasons, they've been in the same place. How much of a difference does he make? How much of a difference does others make to make him better? We'll talk about that. We'll get things going with that. We'll get into the other stuff. We'll give the audio from ESPN to hear about maybe PJ Tucker and another player that may be on the radar for the Philadelphia 76ers on Thursday night for the draft. Some other names that I know you would have that you may want to share with us here as we go until 10 o'clock here on 97.5 The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. Plenty of time until 10. We got a four-hour run to dive into it all. They need to catch up to the Boston Celtics. They need to be better than the Boston Celtics. They need to be better than the Milwaukee Bucks and so many other teams that are in the Eastern Conference that are going to do their job, too, to improve this offseason, because no one was the Celtics or the Warriors playing other than those two in the NBA Finals. You need to be better than that in the West and in the East, and the Sixers have been trying to do that for the past five seasons, and nothing has worked. We have seen the same result every season. 50 wins, which is expected now. You don't get excited about that too much. Of course, watch 82 games. You get excited about the games because you should. You're a basketball fan. You have to go through the entire season and go through it all to feel good about your team and gauge where they really are when you get to the playoffs. Once you get there, we have gauged for the last two that they have been good enough to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, that third round, and maybe the NBA Finals. He has been a part of it, Tobias Harris. Should he stay or should he go? Do you think he wants to go at this point, where maybe he's tired of not getting play calls for him, to being that third or fourth or the fifth option on the basketball team? Let's start there. Let's get things started. 610-632-0975. I'm Devon Givens on this Tuesday night with you until 10. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Woo! 631, 97.5 The Fanatic. Welcome back, Devon Givens. 610-632-0975. Tyler Zuli is here as well. He'll have your leftovers later on in the 9 o'clock hour. 610, again, 632-0975 to reach us. The 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 17 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. What do you think the 76ers should do by Thursday with Tobias Harris? Should he be involved in something to improve the roster, or should they just stay put and allow him to continue with Embiid, Harden, and Maxey, and whoever the fifth starter might be, Thibault, or doesn't currently have a spot on this roster right now. What do you think they should do? What would you want them to do with Tobias Harris? 610-632-0975. A quick one on Twitter from Yo Brad 3. She's the best. Brad is she's the best. Great Sixer fan, Yo Brad 3. Gets Tobias Harris gets no respect from this fan base or the league. Gets the quietest 18 to 20 ever. He's steady and a professional. That's Yo Brad 3 on Twitter. Her thoughts on Tobias Harris and what he does for the Sixers. And again, his standing around the NBA. He is steady. He is a professional. But the 18 to 20, for me, a lot of times he leaves me wanting more. I feel like he doesn't give me an 8-point stretch here where I'm like, oh, Tobias took over right there. And that was the game. Yeah, he sprinkles them in. He mixes them in. And even when you play, right, you play, you grow up, you're like, all right, if I get 4 a quarter, I can get a good 16 a game, 4 a quarter. But don't you want that player to have impact? Everybody's not Embiid. Everybody's not Harden. But Maxey is also a role player on this team, a starter. And is it because he's fast? Is it because he's small? Is that it? I don't think so. I just think those buckets come at a very good time. It's like, all right, we're slowing down here. Maxey, turn it up. And he does. He'll go get you 8 real fast, 7 real quick. And some of it is in transition. Some of it is a step back 3 that he knocks down where you say, wow, Tyrese Maxey, I didn't expect that from him. Tobias is like, all right, he gets you that 4 there. He might give you 8.25, but I don't remember it. And then in the third, he does what he does. Great ATO call by Doc Rivers where out of the timeout, Tobias Harris gets the bucket. Great play call from him, but then that's the last play call we see for Tobias Harris in general. So is it him or is it them? What is it? What do you think they should do with him? What do you want them to do with him? Should he stay and they just run it back again with the 4 of those starters and then find somewhere else to go with the 5th? And improving this basketball team. 610-632-0975. I personally, again, want them to, I need the depth. So if he's part of bringing someone who can still give me similar production, leaving his situation, but coming here and having a better situation with this team and can give you a little bit more, I'm with that. And then I'm not going to get 2 starters, but can I get somebody as a rotational piece for this basketball team? Through that type of trade, whether it's a 3-team deal, a straight-up deal. Like we see Miles Bridges is a restricted free agent, and they may have a number that they're capped out at with Charlotte. Maybe. I don't know. But we see, go get Miles Bridges. Tobias Harris, that number's probably going to have to work with him going to Charlotte in any kind of deal. If Miles Bridges gets a decent, let's say he gets 400, something like that. All right, so that means he's getting about 25 a year. Tobias Harris is high 30s, so you still have to maybe make things work coming back from Charlotte where it's Miles Bridges with McDaniels. I don't know, just or Cody Martin. I don't know. Or Caleb, which I think is Caleb. That's in Charlotte. Whatever Martin twin is in Charlotte, even though I think he's a free agent as well, comes back with him, then you make the numbers work somehow, some way, in that way. There you have a starter. And Miles Bridges, and then Martin as a wing player coming off the bench that you feel pretty good about with the toughness, the athleticism, tough-minded type of player where you feel like can bring something to the table for this basketball team. That's just an example. Haven't heard anything. Just because people talk about Miles Bridges, that's why I used him as an example if you were to move on from Tobias Harris. So that's what I mean. That's what I'm asking. The draft is a few days away, and I think his name is going to come up quite a bit between today and Thursday. So let's start there. And we also, Tyler, do we have 5 pairs of FanFest tickets to give away as well?
We do.
We'll tell people how we'll give away those with our side topic as you call in to talk about the Sixers. The Phillies later, 2-game trip in Texas with the Rangers going for yet another series win if they can take these 2 from the Texas Rangers. Don't split. They came here and took your 2 in your building. Go there. Take 2 there with Kyle Gibson and Zach Wheeler. As your 2 starters in this series, let me check, make sure. But I know Gibson was one name that was discussed as we look at them and their schedule. And tonight we do, in fact, have Gibson and Wheeler as the two starters on this Tuesday and Wednesday as well against the Texas Rangers. All right, let's start off with the Sixers. Tobias Harris, what do you think they should do with him? Will he be back? Let's start off in Southwest with Juan next on 97.5, tipping us off. What's up, Juan? Yo, Juan.
Hello?
Yep, I got you now, man.
Yeah, I think they should keep Tobias. He's a great third, fourth piece. Thybul, I don't know. I like Thybul in the beginning of his first couple years, but he kind of fell off. Maybe he's putting that work on, working, and we might give him a chance. But I think Doc Rivers should go, honestly.
Well, he's not going anywhere, so you might as well jump off of that one, Juan. He's not going anywhere right now. He's your coach for this upcoming season.
I know, but every time I watch the basketball game, it's like I'm watching a 2K game, and I don't know much about basketball plays, but I barely see any cuts, any backdoor pens. It's just horrible to watch.
But he's going to be here. So if he's going to be here and you're talking about keeping Tobias Harris and, you know, up in the air about Matisse Thybul, he's the one that's going to be coaching him. And that's just something that we're going to have to accept.
I know. And even some of our young players, you don't even want to play them. And, like, that's tough because in a long NBA season, you need young legs that, like, keep the team going sometimes or just rejuvenate some of the veterans.
And all right, so why do you think, though, outside of the Doc Rivers part, why do you want them to keep Tobias Harris?
Because for a third or fourth piece to win an NBA championship, he does his role.
As a championship team?
Yes.
I don't know that because they haven't gotten there.
James Harden, he just got to step up a little bit more. Embiid got hurt toward the end of the season, which made things kind of tough. But I like our position. Let's run it back with the team. The chemistry probably get better because they played so much over the past year now because James Harden came there late. Just got to see. I'm not giving up on Tobias yet, but maybe Thybul could go, though.
All right. You got it, Juan. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. And he mentioned the third, fourth piece scoring-wise on a championship team. I don't know that just because they haven't done that yet. They haven't gotten to that level, gotten to that Eastern Conference Finals round first and then to the NBA Finals to say that Tobias Harris is that type of player, that level of player that can get you over the top on a championship team. I don't know that answer. Now, they had their chances in 21 and now 22, and him being a part of it and even in 19 against the Raptors, and they didn't do it. He didn't do enough to get them over the top. And Juan, he was the fifth option on that 19 team because you had Redick, Simmons, and Butler with Embiid. And where was he to elevate? Yes, he has to get the basketball. Maybe they have to draw plays up for him, etc. But he didn't do anything to get them over the top to be a championship-level team. So therefore, I don't know that he can be a third or fourth option. I thought he was. But it said more about what was surrounding him with Embiid and Butler and Redick and Simmons. And even a season ago where it was Simmons and Embiid and him and the others to get them over the top. And they did it. He did it. He was like 5'4". Now, look, I give him credit for taking the shots. And Ben Simmons, they really didn't have to defend him because they knew, like we knew, watching from the stands, watching from television, listening on the radio, that he wasn't shooting the basketball. He knew it. We knew it. So he had to take shots. He took a lot of shots. But he was like 5-for-19 in that game where you needed more. It called for more. And B turned the ball over 7 times. You need others to step up. Where was he in stepping up in that moment to put this team to that next level? That's what I'm asking for. What does he do that's going to do that? He can score. We know that. He elevated his defense in the playoffs. But is it something, again, that's impactful? Is it something that's in him to do that? I don't know. And let's not forget, when we talk about Tobias Harris, what is he about to be, 30? He's not going to get any better, is what I am saying. Tobias Harris is not going to get any better. He is who he is at this stage of his career at 29. And when the season starts, his birthday is in July, he's going to be 30. Is he going to get any better? Tyler, you're a Tobias Harris fan. Good evening.
Yeah, you know him. And hello, it's good to be back with you, by the way.
Good to see you, man.
It's been a while.
Is he going to be any better?
No.
Than what he is.
No, I don't think that he's getting there. The ceiling has been reached. It's not like he is.
That was reached a long time ago.
I don't think he's. He's not an ascending player by any means. So what you're weighing here, you're not weighing potential. You're not weighing, you know, like with Tyrese Maxey, there is an enormous amount of potential still to be reached. I fully believe that. His ceiling, even though he ascended big time from year one to year two, there is still a ceiling that has not been reached with him. You can still make moves because of that. Whether you keep him or he's a trade piece or whatever it may be, he can still be, you know, considered growable. I don't think that that's going to happen with Tobias Harris anymore. But to answer your question, I think that there's a staunch difference between what the Sixers should do and what the Sixers are going to do. And I think what they're going to end up doing, and I've been saying this for a while, is nothing. And they're going to run it back with the same squad. Okay. And when I say nothing, I don't mean that they're not going to trade anybody.
I mean significant with the starters.
Correct. Yes. You may see like a Shake Milton get traded. You may see a Furkan get traded. Something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And they'll bring in whatever kind of depth that they can on the MLE and the veteran minimums. But the four, Harden, Maxey, Embiid, Harris, are all going to be back, I think, in the same capacities in which they were a season ago.
Okay.
So, and that's why the difference between should and what they will do, I think, is pretty staunch.
What do you want them to do?
What I'd like them to do is find a way in which that you can get a fifth starter without... And of course, this is very difficult because they don't have any money. Is get a fifth starter without moving one of those four guys.
Really?
And I know that that's really, really difficult
very
to
difficult.
Do, but I think
very difficult.
I'm looking for more of a piece than a big time name. And so if I can get a player
Same.
Of the caliber of PJ Tucker, again, I don't think they're going to be able to afford PJ Tucker in any capacity. He's going to go somewhere else. But if you can get a player of the like,
there's a way you can afford
of PJ Tucker, then I think that that is a much greater way for them to compete with a healthier, supposedly healthier James Harden, a healthy Joel Embiid, than if they were going to make a move and deplete what little depth they have left.
Okay. All right. You got it, man. 610-632-0975. That's Tyler Zuli producing the show. He'll also have the leftovers later on in the 9 o'clock hour. Your thoughts? What do you think they will do? What do you think they should do? What do you want them to do? I am along the lines of, I think he's the one that can net you the best return. Therefore, I understand continuity and all of that. He's not going to get much, much better. I think you can, but he can help you potentially get better if you make the right move and moving him in this particular case as a player for the 76ers. Good player, steady, solid. You can count on him to do what you can count on him to do. But how much of that is going to make a difference in winning? And I mean winning, in talking about Eastern Conference Finals, NBA Finals, because again, he's been here for three of those second round exits. Toronto series, the Atlanta series, and now this series against the Miami Heat, where he was really good in the Miami series. But then the last two games where it wasn't up to him, it was up to others, so I can't blame him. But my point is, there might be a plateau with him where he can only get you to a certain level. And I'm not saying the player that you do bring back is going to maybe do that yet that we know, but maybe that player can come in and he fits differently with this team. And again, the defensive part is now there. The outside shooting might be better with said player that comes from whatever Team X that he does return here with the 76ers in any potential deal. So that's my belief. That's what I would like for them to do. And quite frankly, I mean, I wonder what he wants, honestly. You know what I'm saying? I really wonder what he wants as a player who does not get play calls. He feels like he was going to be a big part of the offense. James Harden comes in, the natural elevation that we didn't see coming from Tyrese Maxey. Next thing you know, he's the fourth option. Not because he can't score, but because of whatever is going on with what they like to do with their plays with Embiid to Harden to Maxey, that stuff works best for what they are doing every night where he kind of gets lost. And hey, go find your 17. However you find it, you go find it, but we got this other stuff going on over here. 610-632-0975.
And real quick, I want to make it very, very apparent.
Yes.
And evident to everybody listening. When I say I think that they're going to end up running it back, there are a handful of players, and I literally mean a handful of players in the NBA that I would be willing to deplete that depth for, what little bit of depth they actually have. Also, because you have to pair into the fact that guys that may be on the move, and I think that that list continues to dwindle as the draft gets closer and the offseason goes on. But when you're talking about a guy like Donovan Mitchell, I know Zach LaVine's name seems to be coming off the board because the rumor is he's going to re-sign and stay in Chicago. But there's a handful of guys that I would make that move for. But in the grand scheme of things, they are not a competitor with what little depth that they have. And if you deplete it even further.
But you're giving up one, and I think if you could possibly get two, use the mid-level, biannual.
Well, you're talking about trading. In that regard, you're talking about trading Tobias for multiple pieces as opposed to trading Tobias in the big deal, right? The Donovan Mitchell, Zach LaVine.
And that's different because more players are going to go probably that way if it was Donovan Mitchell. Even though their money matches.
Sure.
They're going to want more. Sixers might want more. Who knows how all of that stuff will balance out. Let's go to Mike in Uptown, checking in with us next here on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's happening, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, Devon?
What's going on, man?
Ain't nothing much. Just listening, you know, you talking basketball, so you talking my love language.
Hey, man, well, it's love language this week and next week with the draft and free agency getting underway, man. We got to discuss it.
No, I hear you. I was thinking about it, and I feel like what Tyler said is true, that they're not going to move Tobias. I feel like he can get better as a catch-and-shoot shooter, like maybe show more effort on defense like he did in the playoffs. I think he could do that as far as an improvement, but like you said, there's not much more to improve on that. But to my point, I was thinking, on the point of keeping Tobias, I was thinking along the line, like, we trade the pick and a future first, maybe a player or two off the bench for Eric Gordon from Houston, for bench support, and then the owners pay a little over the luxury tax to bring in P.J. Tucker, so that way we bring in grit and scoring off the bench on top of level veteran experience. So that was my thought with keeping Tobias. Now, in your life, since you want to trade Tobias, my thought on that was thinking, well, maybe we trade him to Indiana with the pick and player or two, and we get back Buddy Hield and T.J. Warren. Remember, I bought up T.J. Warren a couple weeks ago as a...
Yeah, yeah, and of course, he has to be a sign and trade because of he's a free agent.
You figure you get him for a low contract because
sure.
He's coming off an injury.
2 years.
He hasn't played, so he basically has to prove himself to even get more money.
Yep, yeah. I'm not mad at that. Obviously, I'm not mad at that because you get the shooting and Buddy Hield and T.J. Warren. My question then would go, all right, Mike, we do that here. One of them would potentially start, maybe not, but who's your perimeter defender in a case like that?
Now, that is the tough part because we might lose.
Now, you don't have to have all the answers because that's Daryl Morey's job, that's Elton Brand's job, and I get that. But in this particular scenario, who is the defender?
In this scenario, honestly, it's not much because, like you said, I would want to start Matisse, but here's the thing I was thinking with that. With that said, we get the Indiana thing. We can afford more than likely to get P.J. Tucker still and give him the right money. He's a defensive four player. You start Harden with Buddy Hield and maybe Tyrese, because I was thinking bring Tyrese off the bench so we had that punch that we lacked during this past season of someone coming off the bench. Like we had it 2 years ago because of him coming off the bench, giving us that spark, giving us that energy. So I'm thinking if somehow... he's not going to have a lesser role. He's still going to be like a fifth starter. But if you bring him off the bench, now that lets James Harden be the strict point guard.
So you're looking at Harden with Hield.
Yeah, Hield. Then you sign P.J. Tucker.
Starter.
And if you got to, like, someone else to start. Or if you want to start Maxey, we can. No problem. But yeah. I'm just thinking, like, if you don't have to start Maxey, that could bring you power off the bench as far as a spark, because we didn't have much of a spark this year.
Okay. No, listen, man. I mean, that's a great idea. And Mike, thanks for the call as always, man. I know we'll be talking, if not either tomorrow, Thursday, or Friday. We'll certainly be talking next week. Thanks, man. Really appreciate it. You got it. And the P.J. Tucker name, J.B. is going to talk about that here shortly. And we're going to play you some audio and let you hear about that, too. And maybe there are scenarios where you can keep Tobias Harris and still do the Eric Gordon or who else? Gary Harris or P.J. Tucker. We'll get to again with J.B., get J.B.'s thoughts. And all these names, maybe there is a way. That's why you bring in and you give Daryl Morey all this big money for him to sit down with Elton Brand and figure this thing out to make sure that it does happen where you can keep Harris and still get those others in. Probably more likely, though, that you would have to give up Harris in a scenario to improve it in a different way and find ways to move him, still have other pieces, and go do those other things as well. 610-632-0975. The Sixers have the 23rd overall pick on Thursday night in 2022. NBA draft, will they keep it? Will it be packaged with a player like Tobias Harris or someone else? What do you want to do, though, with Tobias Harris as his name has come up, will continue to come up as we get closer to Thursday night's NBA draft? 610-632-0975. We got JB, Craig, Joe, Tony. We had one drop off there, and we have now two open phone lines for the first time since we've gotten underway at 6 o'clock. On the other side, we'll also tell you our side topic and give away some of these FanFest tickets for October 1st. We'll tell you about that at Xfinity Live, our normal spot. It's going to be a blast as always. We'll talk about it all when we come back, beginning with JB right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Seven o'clock, 97.5 The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. I'm Devon Givens with you on this Tuesday night. Good to be back with you as we go until 10 o'clock. Until 10, the rest of the week, although I do think Tyler's bailing on me. Got a couple of days off. I think on Thursday we
might... Sorry about that.
That's okay. Thursday we might go to 11 just because of the... you know, the amount of time it takes for a draft to happen, and we would like to be on the air with whatever happens at the 23rd overall pick with the 76ers. We want to be able to react live with you and get your thoughts on whatever that pick might be and what that deal might be if something, in fact, does go down for the 76ers. So we will be here until 10 every week, possibly 11 on Thursday night as the draft happens. So... here on Twitter, before we get back to JB, I want to run this one quickly. 76ers39 says, D, we need bench help. We need Isaiah Joe to finally be a consistent bench piece. We need to go get Eric Gordon and Gary Harris. Move Matisse Thybulle and the pick, 23, for Jeremy Grant if we can. Don't think that's going to get it done. You're going to have to include more 76ers39. You need more money because Jeremy Grant makes, you know, decent amount of money. Maybe the Danny Green deal can play in that. And throw in Green. I stopped right there. Throw in Green's contract. Give Bassey good run. Springer is a first round talent. The Michigan State kid, he can contribute. Who's the Michigan State kid? Michigan State?
Talking about a player coming out of the draft or a player on the Sixers roster?
If you're sending the pick for Grant,
right?
There's no player.
It doesn't matter.
Michigan State. Is he talking about... what's my man's name? That was the two-way guy. Before he was let go. Two-way guy.
For the Sixers?
Yeah, he was a two-way guy. And then they changed his two-way to Charlie Brown's two-way contract with Powell. I don't know, but no. Michigan State kid, Aaron Henry.
I would look it up, but our computer doesn't work. Well, it hasn't worked all show.
There you go.
It's great.
Aaron Henry. He's not going to get it done.
No.
Aaron Henry's not going to get it done. So listen.
Somebody was big on him, weren't they?
Yeah, a lot of people liked him.
No, I mean before the draft started. Somebody specifically was calling us and being like, hey, this is the dude.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And they picked him up in, as an undrafted.
UDFA, yeah.
Yeah, yep. So there's that, man. And I don't see the grand thing unless, as you pointed out, Green's contract, Matisse, and the pick for Jeremy Grant. I don't know. I don't know about that one. Jeremy Grant names continues to come up. That's another name. Maybe that's one of them. We'll get to some of these also, some of these more on Twitter. We have a few more there that we want to get into. But I also wanted to say this because we want to give away some FanFest tickets. JB, Craig, Joe, Tony, the two open phone lines that we talked about, 610-632-0975. I had a chance. I watched it today. It just came out the other day. And I watched it today. This is how I want to give away FanFest tickets to everybody. We have five pairs to do so until 10. I was watching the Martin reunion show. Martin Lawrence, Tisha Campbell, Tashina Arnold, and Carl. What's his last name? Cole. Of course, we knew him as Cockroach on the Cosby Show as well. I watched it, and it was good. Missing Tommy McHale Ford. Thomas McHale Ford, you miss him. Passed away a couple of years ago, 2016, I think it was. And it was a great show. Only lasted five seasons. Really only four seasons because of some things that caused the show to come to an abrupt end. And eventually it would have come to an end anyway because Martin was starting to turn into a movie star. And he wouldn't have had time like Will Smith didn't for The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. It was going to come to an end. Nevertheless, it's one of my favorite sitcoms, one of my favorite shows of all time. And I think there are a lot of shows that were too short, or even when they were great, like his was for those five seasons, don't get their just due. When we hear people talk about, this is my favorite sitcom, top five, it's always the top five, right? No top seven, top five. You always got to go 5, 10, 15, 20, you know what I mean. Martin's show, though, was it, especially for the neighborhood and the urban area where we grew up, where I grew up. That was it. When his show was coming, when we saw that he was getting a show, it was a big deal. And it went for five seasons. Great cast, great guest stars, great characters. It was great for the culture, and it expanded beyond the culture. But it has a great legacy, and it did great for only five seasons, in which the fifth season was not good at all because Tisha Campbell was not really a part of the show at that point as they wrapped things up. But it's still a great, 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 great show. But I don't think it gets it just it's just due for whatever reason. Maybe it didn't last long. Maybe it never hit in certain demographics like I think it should have because it was just funny. Funny is funny. Like me, my favorite show of all time, Seinfeld. It's a white show. But I love it. I'm a black dude from West Philly. I love it. Friends. I argue with people who say, oh, Friends stunk. Watched it in the black community.
Friends stunk.
It was funny to us. It was funny. You should have watched it with us.
It's better than Seinfeld. But.
Whatever. But my point is funny. And for whatever reason, Martin's show didn't. I don't think it gets it just due like when we hear a lot of other shows. Again, it does. Like when I talk to people from my neighborhood or family members or friends, we bring up Martin on the radio show. People talk about it. So we wanted to ask people off of that, the reunion show, me thinking the sitcom and its historical place doesn't get its just due. I want to ask you some shows, folks, maybe one show for you, and we'll qualify you for some tickets or maybe give them to you on the spot, that you believe was a great, great show, but doesn't get its just due. Doesn't have to be network television. Could be tape cable television. We're not doing movies. Only TV shows. Doesn't have to be a sitcom. Could be a drama. Could be one of those other 90210 type of shows. Or something else. MASH back in the day. Little House on the Prairie. I don't care. A show that you believe in a historical context does not get its just due. For you. 610-632-0975. Because I believe that Martin is one of the best shows of all time. Five seasons, four specifically, because the fifth year kind of doesn't count to us because of Tisha Campbell not being on the show every week. So, a show for you, as you call in to talk about the Sixers, a show for you, that doesn't get its just due. 610-632-0975. I'll give another just to take it off the table since we're talking about Martin as the talking piece here for a show. One for me that I don't think gets really its just due. It's popular. It is very popular, but I don't think it gets its just due. Was a spinoff of The Cosby Show, which was A Different World, where Lisa Bonet was the star. She left The Cosby Show, had her own show, spinning off, goes to do Different World, and A Different World was dope. It was the, you know, the young teenagers, the young adults going to college, experience things on your own and learning, right? How to be a young adult, how to transition, living on your own for the first time, having to deal with real life problems. A Different World kind of gets lost, I think, in my opinion, as one of the great shows of all time. And maybe it was because it was coming off of The Cosby Show and Lisa Bonet couldn't possibly follow something up like that. And then she ultimately leaves that show too early, where everybody else from Kadeem Harson, Cree Summer, all of them, that they have to now pick up the show and move it forward, where she was supposed to be the big star and she wants to go do movies and all of that. And she was fantastic. But I think A Different World was one of those shows that just simply doesn't get its just due as a show from the 90s. And I think it was fantastic. Tyler, you have to give yours. Then we'll go to JB so he can think about his as he talks about PJ Tucker. We got Craig, Joe, Tony, Anthony, David, everybody that's there. A show for you, Tyler, that maybe you feel like doesn't get its just due in its historical place
okay.
in television history.
Yeah, it's a good question. Because you know me, I'm not a terrestrial TV guy, right?
Right.
I don't have cable.
Yep.
Cord a while ago. So I watch, like, my recency bias is anything that's on the streaming services. So obviously I lean towards those.
Sure.
You also know that I am not a huge, I like it, but I'm not a huge Simpsons fan. But I will say this. When you posed that question to me, I was trying to think broad scale, right? When I was
sure.
trying to think about when people say, this is the greatest show of all time, that's the greatest show of all time. You know I'm not a big Simpsons guy, but I think oftentimes when you bring up this like GOAT TV show conversation, animated shows get pushed to the side.
They do.
Just, I think by nature, right?
They
you
do.
Think about all the great sitcoms, all the great dramas, all the great medical, all the great whatever, you know, the CSIs and stuff like that. And I think the animated shows get pushed to the side a little bit. And while we all recognize that The Simpsons is like the GOAT tier of animated shows, I don't know if it transitions to everyday TV, everyday conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to ask you before I even give another answer, is that an acceptable answer to give in terms of like the all-time greats?
Based on your explanation, yes. If you feel like it's not where it is historically when people talk about the greats of all time and you believe that's one of the all-time greatest shows, it absolutely does.
It's run for over two decades. I think that it's probably run its course now. It's not nearly as good as it was in its heyday. But, I mean, it has staying power and longevity and people of all ages watched The Simpsons
yeah.
and watched these animated shows. And I think sometimes they get pushed to the side in this GOAT TV show conversation. So I know that it's not like, that's a deep dive, right? By any means, everybody knows what The Simpsons are. But in the totality of the conversation, I think it does get pushed to the side a little
okay.
bit.
Okay. I have a bunch of them that I just have written down in case people don't bring them up. So bring yours when you bring your Sixers conversation. Phillies as well. They play the Texas Rangers tonight. Kyle Gibson on the mound against his former club. And then they have one more tomorrow afternoon. Zach Wheeler on the mound for a quick two-game visit to Texas to take on the Rangers. Because of Martin, the TV show, I just watched the reunion show. It was great. Sad that, of course, Tommy wasn't there. One of the great casts of all time for this sitcom. And I don't think they get their just due. It's a dope show. I don't think it gets its just due. I want to know from you. A show. Doesn't have to be a sitcom. A TV show, though. Series, whatever. Doesn't get its just due out there. 610-632-0975.
And by the way, Devon, sorry, I apologize. If you are looking for something a little bit more along your descriptor of it, I do have one for you. I'll give that to you later.
Okay, let's go to JB in the Poconos here on 97.5. What's up, JB?
Hey, Devon, how are you?
I'm great, man. How are you?
Good, thanks. Thank you for taking my call.
Always.
On your Sixers topic, I think the whole Tobias thing all stems back to what the team wanted to build around Ben Simmons, okay, because they had a choice. They could have gone with Jimmy Butler or Tobias. Tobias was the safe pick because he wasn't going to require the ball as much as Jimmy did. And as a result, Ben kind of flaked out, and as a result, now here we are. So in my opinion, and I'm no guru, but I like the idea of P.J. Tucker coming in because he brings an attitude.
He does.
He brings a Philly toughness to him. And he's a slammer on the board, especially on the offensive side. And I think it's an attitude that will reflect in the locker room that may spark Tobias to be a little bit more than he possibly is. Tobias is a great player.
I wouldn't say he's great. I won't go great. I say he's good.
Well, he's vanilla. Because he gives you your 20 a night. He don't turn the ball over a lot. You know, he does his thing. He's a good quality professional.
That he is.
He's not going to light it up like a Jimmy Butler would or some other players in the league. But you also know what you're going to get from him night in and night out. So with that being said, besides Joel and having Ben on the team, you're like, okay, we have one ball. Where are we going with it? You bring Jimmy into that picture. You know, now you have a very crowded backfield, as they would say in football. But with that being said, now you need to fix the situation. And the only way to fix it is to bring an attitude in. And I think that PJ could be that guy.
I love the name.
Work it out.
I love the name. Here's my question. Now, you don't have to have the answer just because, again, working it out financially is not your problem. It's Daryl Morey's problem to figure it out. When he was in Houston, before they broke that team up, part of his frustration was he didn't feel like he was respected with the contract that he felt when Daryl Morey was still there and getting that deal. He ultimately left when Morey and Harden left, but I remember him being very frustrated. The reports were because Morey did not give him a new contract when he took less, worked as hard as he does to what your point is as a player, JB. And I wonder, does that play a factor into it now, despite his relationship with James Harden, which is by all accounts still very, very good? Does that factor into it simply because he's going to want a certain amount of money and maybe Daryl Morey won't do that?
Duly noted, and we're kind of hamstrung with Danny Green and the fact that he's injured because he could have been a player in this situation where you might have tried to deal him to loosen up some salary cap stuff. You're right. I don't have an answer for that, but I think that you have a good nucleus here. You just need that one piece and then maybe adding somebody if you can keep your draft pick this year and pick some sharpshooter out of the league in the draft.
Yeah.
And get a kid that can shoot the ball, lights out. Don't care what else he does. You just want him to come off the bench and drain a couple threes when you need it. That's it. Maybe that's the answer. Isaiah Joe, maybe he, you know, picks up a little bit. Same thing with Thybulle. I like Thybulle. I like his energy. He seems a little lost on the court sometimes.
I agree.
He just, you know, I mean, it's frustrating at times because you see talent, but it's almost like it's unharnessed.
I agree with you 100%. Hey, JB, I know we sprung this on you while you were on hold, but you heard my layout for the side topic. And if you have one, and of course we qualify you for an opportunity to join us at FanFest in October, do you have a show that you feel like does not get its just due?
Well, it's not on anymore. But it was a show that my wife and I used to love to watch, especially when, you know, she was getting over certain ailments that she had. We would binge watch at night, Criminal Minds.
Criminal Minds.
Great show. great show. Always kept you on your toes, kind of. Kept you thinking. It's not like the typical sitcom that we would watch or something like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, it had like, I think 12 or 13 seasons, if I'm not.
Had a long run, and of course they have all the repeats on right now where you could watch it over and over and over again. JB, I'll explain why you're on hold and Tyler gets your information. Why I did watch it, but I couldn't stand it for a while. Thanks so much for the phone call. That was a Shamar Moore thing for me. Can't stand him. I was like, I didn't buy him as a character. Everybody else, I'm not a Shamar Moore fan. I don't get him. I don't understand him. Like me, I say, look, I do my job. A lot of people like what I do. Some people don't. I'm not for everybody.
You're going to hurt my mom's feelings.
Well, your mom, I love.
She loves Shamar Moore. Loves him.
Mom, I love. I love you, Mom. You know I do. I'm out. I can't stand him. I don't get it. I don't understand it. So I'm out. I can't watch the show. It was a good show. I'm out.
What I loved watching with those kind of shows was seeing if I was smart enough to figure it out before the show ended.
Always.
That's the goal,
always.
Right?
You just don't say it out loud. So nobody else.
Oh, no. I was definitely ruining it.
You can't ruin it. Especially if you felt like you really had it, ruin it.
You have to call it. You have to call it out loud. It's like when,
you gotta write that down.
Like watching Jeopardy, right?
Yeah.
So me and my mom used to watch Jeopardy all the time.
Yeah.
And she would be like, one thing she does that drives me crazy when we watch Jeopardy, she goes, "Ah, that's what I was gonna say." Well, then say it.
But you can do that when you say to each other, "All right, do you think you figured it out? Yes. Do you think you figured it out? Sure. Okay. Let's run it out now and see what you have, and then we'll go for it. If not, then we wait."
Okay.
It's only 47 minutes, 45 minutes, whatever it is.
Yeah, but the goal is try to figure it out as quickly as possible.
Yeah, but if you didn't get it the first time, you got to hang on to it now.
You only get one guess.
You only get one guess. You got to hang on to it now. 610-632-0975. Shamar Moore, I was out, Tyler. I'm telling you, Mom, I love you. Out. Craig in Philly next on 97.5. What's up, Craig?
Yo, man, how you doing?
Good, man.
Well, I can't say a total rebuild, but our key players have got this is a rebuild. We're not winning next year either. Okay.
So rebuild how? What do you mean?
Well,
you got to gut things now.
I'm in the same boat with you. Until we get some athletic, we need at least two athletic wings if we're going to compete with Toronto.
Yeah.
Or if we're going to compete with Boston, and if you got past those people, you got Golden State waiting for you, and we ain't fast enough to beat them. We're not fast enough.
Uh-huh.
We don't cover enough ground on the court. Embiid is a nightmare matchup, but he has to go to the bench eventually. And P.J. Tucker, he's a year older. I like the guy from Indiana. What's his name?
Buddy Hield?
No. Buddy Hield, he's a loser. I'm going to tell you right now, Buddy Hield's a loser.
Is he a young player or an older player?
No, he's an older player. You were just talking about him.
T.J. Warren.
T.J. Warren. I like his offense, but he's not fast enough either. Look, the
that's not – you're right. The athletic stuff that we're talking about.
And that's all it is. If we don't get that, we're done before we get on the court. We'll be the third or fourth seed, but when it comes down to the real GOATs, we're not going to get them, okay? So we need to draft our own in-house people, our own players, because the only one that we have that's really a star is our own draft pick, and that's Joel Embiid.
Sure.
And see, those are our guys.
And see how Maxey, of course, continues to develop and elevate his play.
We drafted them. We're not a destination for free agents. Get that out of your head, too. T.J. Warren's not – he may come here, but people like Eric Gordon, he can't shoot. We need people. He can't shoot.
I think Eric Gordon playing with Joel Embiid.
Not Eric Gordon, the boy out in Denver.
Oh, no. Aaron Gordon, we don't bring him up because that's – no. I'm not talking about him. Some people were talking about Eric Gordon. We're going to play a clip about it, too. But Eric Gordon is the one that we were focused on, just to make it clear.
Okay. Well, whatever – all the people that we're talking about, draft scenarios – our only option is, to me, of course, we got to get clear our bench. People like Niang, he's pretty good. I think we're gonna have to keep him. But Shake Milton, he's got to move on. Furkan, I like Furkan, I really do. But he's got to move on. But we need to get, well, there's some good draft picks in the second round that can shoot. They can do what Danny Green was.
But see, they don't have any second round picks, so they're going to have to buy one.
You're going to have to use our 23 and however you maneuver it around. I can't come up with a scenario in my head because I don't know all the ins and outs of how you get players from other teams and talking about the money.
Salary cap and all that stuff.
Yeah, the hard cap and all that. But Tobias Harris is going to be the scapegoat in here because of his salary.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to move him plus that 23rd draft pick to get one or two veterans because Doc likes a veteran, which is you need a veteran here.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a lot of depth in this draft. You buy one or two draft picks out of, because there's a bunch of teams that have way too many draft picks, and you get one or two guys that all they have to do is give you what Danny Green was giving. Run down the court, play some good defense, and hit the ball.
Now is the question, Craig, though. The question, Craig, is Doc Rivers going to play that young player, and we don't know. Well, Isaiah Joe, as you just said, can do exactly what Danny Green does, but he doesn't play. So we don't know. We have no idea. But listen, man, we're up against it, Craig. You just heard us again throughout the side topic, if you could. I know we sprung it on you. Do you have a show that you felt like, again, just doesn't get its just due?
Well, this is a show that's been off the air for a long time.
That's okay.
It was a late night show. It was fashioned in like a talk show. It was called Late Night. I think the star of the show was, first name was Steve. It was one of the Norman Lear shows, way back when Norman Lear first started putting out these sitcoms.
Okay.
It was a nighttime show with a desk, like a talk show.
Okay.
But it had some real interesting topics, and it was a comedy. It made you laugh.
Okay.
It was talking about serious stuff. I think the show was called Late Night.
Okay. You got it, man. Listen, Craig, great stuff, man. Good to hear from you. And I'm sure we'll talk once things go down with the 76ers on Thursday or even thereafter. 610-632-0975. Joe, hang on, man. Joe in West Philly, we start off with you. Can't run it back, Joe says. Can't wait to hear this. We'll play the audio from ESPN to let you hear the players that they're talking about, the Sixers team name being a link to. Rob, Anthony, David, Ron, and one open phone line, 610-632-0975. A show, a TV show in honor of Martin, the reunion. I just watched it where all the cast got back together minus Tommy, the character Tommy, which is Thomas Ford, because he passed on in 2016. It was really good to see it. It was pretty cool. And I thought Martin didn't get his just due. We explained it a little bit more on the other side. But for you, for some FanFest tickets, we want to ask you a show that for you simply did not get its just due. We have some on Twitter. I'm being attacked about Shamar Moore from the ladies. I'll defend myself when we get back right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone to Vaughn Gibbons on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic, Devon Givens, 610-632-0975. We talk about Tobias Harris is standing with this team as we get closer to the NBA draft, just 2 days away on Thursday night. I'll be here from 7 after Cuz's Corner with Anthony Gargano until 11 as we react to the draft as it goes along in real time. And, of course, when the 76ers pick pops up at pick 23, whether it's for them or someone else, and they ultimately decide to trade it. Also, later on, I'll tell you about a tattoo situation that went badly, in my opinion. Not the Boston Celtics kid that got the banner tattooed on his arm.
Talked about that over the weekend. That was bad.
I have another. All right. Before we get to this audio, so I was talking to my guy on Twitter, and I mean on during the text, one of my homies on during the text about the Shamar Moore thing. And he nailed it perfectly. One of the reasons why, outside of him just being annoying, the other part is, Tyler, I'll say this. Are you familiar with Soul Train?
Yes.
All right. So you didn't watch it, but you're familiar with it.
Yeah, familiar with it. Yeah.
So they used to have celebrities on there because it was in L.A. They would come on there and dance and stuff sometimes. And he was notorious for being on Soul Train as a dancer. And this is one of those deals where if you go out with your guys, you go out with your homies, and you're out, and you know, you dance with whatever with a young lady, a couple of ladies, right, dancing around each other, all of that. If he was my friend, like my buddy texted me, if me and him were out and he texted me the same thing, this would be one of those situations where we would be like, first of all, we're laughing at him. And then we're like, yo, WTF are you doing? Seriously. Not the letters. We're saying that. Yo, my man, WTF are you doing right now? What in the world are you doing dancing like that? And so, he lost a lot of respect.
Was he not a good dancer?
Awful.
Okay.
Awful. And he thought he was doing something, staring into the camera the way that he was. I'll send it to you. Like, it's awful.
Listen, so...
Awful.
It's no secret. You were at my wedding. You probably saw it.
You danced well.
I can't dance.
You danced well. I give you credit.
Well, that's because there's a little bit of booze flowing.
That's all right. Whatever works. Whatever works.
But for the most part, I can't dance. So I cannot critique anybody's dance moves.
When I send you this... You'll be like, okay, I got you.
Oh, listen, I understand it. I can recognize, like, hey, you're a bad dancer.
You're allowed.
It takes a bad dancer to recognize a bad dancer.
You are allowed. I'm telling you, when I send you this, you're going to be like, yo, what is he doing?
But the good news is about, you know, with the wedding thing, when you're at your wedding, even if you're dancing like an idiot, you look like a fool.
It's your wedding. You can do whatever you want.
Like,
as long as you don't do something stupid.
As long
like
as you're respectful, right?
When a guy tried to do a flip and he hit his head or he jumped
me trying to do parkour on the tables.
Awful. Awful. All right, I found a couple of them. Let's see. What is he doing, man? It's a running joke, Tyler, I'm telling you. And my guy, my friend, he's listening right now. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. I'm going to say you this. Shamar Moore dancing is you lose friendships over stuff like this. All right, I'm going to send it to you right now. Let's go. Let's get to this audio of, all right. Brian Windhorst on ESPN. I don't know what this show was. It doesn't matter. He was on ESPN. Zach Lowe was there. Somebody else was there. And they were talking about potential trade stuff coming up as the draft nears. And the Sixers name pops up. So let's hear what Brian Windhorst has said about two players in particular that have been brought up on this show. We'll talk about them. We'll get to Joe, Rob, Anthony, Dave, Ron, one open phone line after this audio from Brian Windhorst.
Also, keep an eye on the Houston Rockets. They've already done one deal look for a bit of an Eric Gordon sweepstakes, in play. A couple of teams that I've heard interested, the Philadelphia 76ers and the Phoenix Suns. You have Chris Paul looking for a potential reunion with his former teammate there. Philadelphia also in the mix for P.J. Tucker, by the way, just opted out of his contract with the Miami Heat.
All right, so that, again, Brian Windhorst, ESPN, on whatever show that was on ESPN talking about the draft. You know he's an NBA insider. And he brings up Eric Gordon's name again, and it seems like Houston wants a first-round pick in return. So that would be the pick 23, but what else would they send, and how likely would Houston be interested in dealing with Daryl Morey once again, right? We don't know what that relationship is like. Are they going to burn bridges that way where you just simply do not deal with him because he's no longer there? That would be foolish. So, but that's a name, older player as we know at this point, but he can shoot. When we talk about players here in town, you want shooters, you want athleticism, you want toughness, all of that stuff. And at least Eric Gordon does provide the shooting aspect of it. Can't stop there. You have to do other things. Then he brings up the P.J. Tucker part. Shams reports it. Shams or Woj, whatever one it was. I don't care. Give them both credit. One of them reported that he was opting out of his contract, $7.4 million, I believe, off the top of my head. Clearly, he's going to want a longer-term deal, maybe more money, even on a shorter deal. The Sixers will have to do a little bit of more maneuvering to make that possible, to make that happen, in bringing in P.J. Tucker as a player. Young, not young, like Gordon, but an experienced veteran. He brings that toughness. He brings a championship pedigree, the experience of winning with the Milwaukee Bucks, deep playoff runs with the Houston Rockets, the Miami Heat this past season, you know what he does. But it still doesn't address the athleticism. Is that on your bench? Is that already there? I don't know. I have no idea. I have no clue. No idea. So, those are two names that I like, but it cannot stop there again. I need more athleticism. I need more. They are not athletic enough. They need more.
Oh, no, there's no athleticism on this team at all.
And I'm okay with those two, but I need some athleticism somewhere. Whether it's Bassey playing, Reed, Joe, Springer, I need some athleticism. Thibault, I need it. Those two are good. They address a couple of the things that you need. Shooting, toughness, and they have experience. I need athleticism too.
It's hard to come by.
Not now. That's what the league is made up of.
Let me rephrase it. It's hard to come by when you're trying to pair, trying to pair all these things together. You have to figure a player that wants to play here, that is willing to play for whatever kind of monetary value the Sixers are able to offer, which is not much, and is also somebody that Doc Rivers will consider using in his rotation. So when you pair all of those three things together, that's when it starts to get hard to come by. I agree with you, right? There's a ton of guys that you'd love to, that you look at in free agency, they go, man, that guy's, he would look great in Sixers uniform, man. Coming off the bench, playing the three, you figure it out, right?
This is the offseason. Figure it out.
But you put all those outside factors together, I'm not so sure that the pool of which you have to choose from is as large as you want to hope that it is.
Nah, I hear you. All right, let's get back to the phone, 610-632-0975. Before I do, Tyler, I sent you two clips of Shamar Moore dancing.
Bad.
You got to show that to your mom.
Here's the thing. If I dance like that, you go, wow, Ty can't dance.
No, I would say, what WTF are you doing?
This guy's on TV. He's an actor. Should be doing better.
Yeah. And that's not even the best one. I can't find the best one where he's just, I don't know, gyrating all over the place. And it's like, my man, what? Man, we're leaving without you. We'll talk about this later. We'll talk about this later because this is unacceptable. That's him. This is unacceptable. 610-632-0975. By the way, Stacey, Quiet Storm 12, you just hurt my feelings with that one. Just hurt her feelings. I'm sorry, Stacey. I love you. But no, I'm out. Criminal Minds, it's his fault. It's his fault. Let's go to Joe in West Philly with this next on 97.5. What's up, Joe?
What's up, man? I'm doing awesome. You know what? You know what? You got to leave Shamar Moore alone, man. I watched the soap operas for my grandma since I was 5 years old.
Like I did for my mom.
All my life, man. And he was the only black people there.
Well, guess what? They found new black people. Now we can destroy them.
Dude, I watched soap operas a long time, but all the years I watched.
Joe, you saw those Soul Train dances.
Of course.
In our community, it's classic. And it's bad.
I put a friend of mine setting him up for that one. Oh, yeah, you know what I mean? I was thinking he kept me doing that on purpose when I first
came. Hey, but he kept doing it.
Yeah, right?
He kept doing it, Joe.
Yeah.
Yo, we would leave him right where he is. Like, yo, we out.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you later, you know, man. He's gone.
Exactly.
Gone.
You know, he didn't dance to, like, we don't like women dancing either. But, man, you know why I think you can't run it back with the Sixers, bro?
Yes.
All right. Embiid came back in the Miami series. Tied us up 2-2. And what these Jokers can do? They couldn't do nothing but fall down flat. Couldn't do anything else. I mean, they used all their minimum when he came back. I don't think there's nothing worse running back. I mean, Tobias been here for every run back. The only run back to me should have been the Toronto when he lost to Toronto.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know what I mean?
That's all five of them, including Tobias Harris at a lower number.
Exactly. Including Tobias Harris. I mean, to me, that was the only worthy run back they had these last years. I just think Tobias and B game is too much of the same. They both, sure, you know, they both love the mid range. They both like to step out and shoot a three occasional, post up a little. You know what I mean? And Tobias is not the most athletic. You know what I mean? So when somebody's out there doing the same thing, two dudes 35 minutes a game, it's kind of hard to miss. And that's why I don't think he really gets off. So when I hear names like LaVine and all that, I'm interested because to me, they're the same type of players. You know, they put up numbers, but they're not the man on their team. I mean, LaVine left Minnesota. He goes to Chicago. DeMar DeRozan's still the man. He can put up his numbers all he wants, though. But DeMar DeRozan's the man in Chicago. And just like Embiid in Philadelphia, I mean, just like Tobias. I mean, he puts up his numbers, nice numbers and all. But it's, I don't think it's a fit. I don't think it's him. I think the fit with this team. You know what I mean? I think if he was even a more dangerous three-point shooter, that would make Embiid more dangerous.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A
yeah, but see, and again, he might have capped out. He's improved. He can improve his three-point shooting. But can he become a knockdown like they
That's
need? Because to your point, you're right. They're similar in the way that he needs the ball in his hands to be dominant. He needs that pick and roll,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah,
to have the ball in his hands to be dominant. And he might not get enough touches to do it.
Not with the Sixers. I don't think you can get enough touches.
Yeah.
I mean, they operate in the same areas, operate the same. You know what I mean? And it's not like athletically he can steal points on the wing and you know, all the oops and things like that. I mean, not saying he's a horrible athlete, but you know what I mean? I think you have to get some type of, I mean, if you can get a nice player, like a LaVine or something, that would be nice. But if you can even get a nice specialty player, I think somebody that helps, I think P.J. Tucker would help Joel. That's somebody who would help him with defensively, help him on the boards, help him, you know what I mean? I don't think on the defensive side provide.
And most importantly, the other stuff.
Yeah.
Like being tough on them, being hard on them. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, man, exactly. Don't need to be down. You keep playing like this, you'll get your MVP and all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? You stay up on that level.
Yeah.
But I just think I don't think that running it back is the thing with this team.
I hear you.
You know what I mean? They're just not athletic enough. I think Tobias and Joel are, I mean, kind of in each other's way over the last three couple of years, where Tobias is going to be more on the sideline just watching Joel operate his space. You know what I mean? I think they're too clogged right there in front of the court.
Yeah.
I would like Zach LaVine. I think that's a guy who can provide the scoring, you know what I mean, and still be that, you know, second banana type of guy. And he's not getting nobody's way. You know what I mean? If Embiid was our fourth, if he wasn't the man, it would be different. But he's our bread and butter, our superstar. That's what he does.
Yeah.
48 minutes a game, and we can't have two guys similar. I mean, Tobias doesn't do anything else. If he was a knockdown three-point shooter, it was different. You look at his statistics, you see 38, 39, but you know that's really not him.
I mean,
even when he's hot, he's nice, but he's really not that type of three-point shooter. Even when he put his numbers up there, he's not that.
Hey, Joe, you heard us talking about Martin and how I feel like it doesn't get his just due. Can you give us one that you feel is also not given its credit?
I don't know. I mean, I was funny to me over the last years. And I don't know, but 2.5 men was always one of my funny. I love 2.5.
Hey, man.
Not with Ashton Kutcher. I think they took.
No, I stopped watching it then.
Yeah, he took his character 2 left, but Charlie Sheen make everything. He make everything better when he gets in there. I think 2.5 men, the Charlie Sheen years. Oh man. I thought that was some of the ultimate funniest TV. I mean, I watched.
Hey, man, listen, I'll just say this. My mom, when I was younger, she wouldn't let me watch stuff like Married with Children, even though I snuck and watched it. It's one of my favorite shows of all time, right?
My mom, that was one of my first shows. Yeah. My mom looked at me sideways.
Like, you ain't watching this. But my mom watched 2.5 men and thought it was funny. So I was like, great. So, you know what I'm saying? Hey, Joe. Oh, man, it was so funny. Joe, you want to hang out with us at Fan Fest, man?
Of course, man.
Oh, man, we got to qualify you. Great stuff, Joe. Let's put you on hold and run that one back there. Not like the Sixers for Joe, but run that one back and get you there. Fan Fest 2022, let me tell you about it. It's back Saturday, October 1st from 1 to 5 p.m. That's at Xfinity Live. Our site must be 21 to enter. Stay tuned to the Fanatic for updates on special guest events and all the fun for that day. We are qualifying everybody tonight based on your nomination of a show that you feel like, a TV show. Doesn't have to be a sitcom. Could be anything, like Criminal Minds. We got that one earlier, that you feel doesn't get its credit for how good of a television show it was. 610-632-0975. I'm cracking up because I had to turn the mic off while I'm talking to Joe. My buddy keeps sending me these Shamar Moore clips, man, and I'm rolling. I am rolling with his Soul Train dancing. It's hilarious. The compilation that people put together for him and his dancing. It's like, what are you doing, man? Stop. Let's go to Anthony of West Oak Lane. What's up, man?
Devon, good brother. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. How are you? I'm sorry, man.
Never had a bad day in my life. You know what, man? We were a crack-faced and a sprained thumb from being in the Eastern Conference Finals.
You were.
In my opinion.
You were.
And even with that, if we had a coach that had the gumption and the heart to bench Harden, I'd rather go down fighting with Isaiah Joe or somebody on the bench than go down with a whimper.
But he won't. But of course he won't do it. Or he didn't do it. And it may have cost them. Now, I ask you this too, Ant, because I too thought they would be a 50-plus win team once we got to the playoffs and we saw the path that they would have to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. I thought it was there was an opportunity for them again to get there. So to your point with the coaching, maybe the injury thing, they keep leaving it there and not taking advantage of it. And sometimes, though, it calls for others to step up, and maybe he didn't step up enough.
He didn't even coach.
The coach, okay.
He didn't step up enough?
I'm talking about maybe, you know, if Harris is that guy where you feel like can, and I thought he was really, really good, but could he give you a little bit more in games 5 and 6? I'm not blaming him. I'm asking.
Right. No, I think Harris is fine. I like Tobias. I think he's fine. I think we always want, we always trade. We're in this perpetual circle of getting the same guy. So we want to trade. We want to trade Tobias for who'd you say in Detroit?
Jeremy Grant.
Are they not the same guy? Just do different things. But
I would just say one is more athletic, and that could also help you. Yeah.
Got you.
Yeah.
But it's like we're in the
and he's a better defender, quite honestly.
Yeah. But how about if we put Tobias in the position to be successful like we did Maxey? How about we have to find a coach that can take the talents of Tobias and make him, he's not bad. He's a third option on pretty much every team in the, put him on Boston as a third option, they might win that series. They might win the shit. So you know, I think it's more coaching, and I think we get so unsatisfied with the guys we have. And if Bias can play.
Mm-hmm. You know? Okay. No, listen, that's why we're asking. I'm not saying it's concrete. I'm not saying it's set in stone. The question is being tossed out there. What do you think they will do, and what do you want them to do? Because he did play really well in March and April, and certainly in the playoffs where I thought he was the most consistent. But is that enough, again, to your point, to keep him going forward, knowing that, once again, they had a second-round exit? The coach is coming back, and he's not going anywhere. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So maybe he does need to draw those plays up. Maybe Tobias needs to voice that a little bit more. Yo, I need some touches here.
Yeah. What would Spoelstra do with this squad?
What was Spoelstra do? I think he would definitely get the best out of them. Listen, you know I'm not a Doc Rivers guy, so you're asking the right person for that question. And I give Doc Rivers credit for what he did. I thought he outcoached Nick Nurse in that Toronto series. But I also thought that, you know, Eric Spoelstra and the team itself got them in the second round. Maybe that was an injury thing as well. But whatever it was, they lost. I do think that there's a chance that if you had someone that was better, that, yeah, they would get him over the top.
Correct. Now, the best show in the history of television is, of course, The Wire.
Okay. That gets its credit. So that's not, yeah.
I know. Right. The other show, to me, I think it got credit when it was on, but since it's been off, you hear nothing about it, and that's 24. Jack Bauer saved the world like 33, 34 times.
You know what's funny? I've never watched it.
Oh, man.
Never.
And it's just funny because I was that same guy until I watched it, and I was like, oh, this is all right. This is all right. This is good.
That's a good one, though. That's a good one because I know a lot of people like 24. It lasted as long as it did. Kiefer Sutherland. Yes.
There was another one I used to like. It was a science fiction joint. It was called The Strain. It was a vampire show.
I don't remember that. Three seasons.
Yeah, I thought that was really good, but it was short-lived. 3 seasons.
Okay. I'm out on the vampire stuff,
That's my kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah. All right, that's it, brother.
Hey, man, you want to qualify for the FanFest tickets?
No, I won tickets the last time I called a couple weeks ago. I haven't got the email
yet. All right, so. Well, hang on. It's early. We just started, so you're all good. And thanks, man. We got your info, and we'll see you then. Thanks, man.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. You got a good brother.
You got it, man. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975.
Yeah, I got Anthony's
Keep
info.
Tobias. Keep Tobias Harris, Anthony said. You got it. You got Anthony from West Oak Lane. And if not, we'll get it again. He knows where we are. We know who he is. We'll call him out and ask him to call back in. We want to get to you, David in Burlington, Ron in Marlton, Rob in Delco, Bill in Schwanksville. We got some heavy hitters for us to start off the 8 o'clock hour. Two open phone lines, 610-632-0975. We'll read some tweets, some shows, some Stacy wants me to post the clips of Shamar Moore because I'm a hater. I can do that, no problem. And we'll keep it all rolling, 610-632-0975. We'll talk about the Phils. We'll keep it going right here until 10 o'clock on this Tuesday night. Devon Givens, 97.5, The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5, The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. 803-97.5 The Fanatic. Von Givens with you, 610-632-0975. Talking some Sixers ahead of the draft on Thursday night. I'll be here with you from 7 to 11 on that Thursday evening. So we hope that you hang out with us and join us on that night. It'll be a fun time talking about the draft. It's not a top 10 pick, not a top 5 pick like we've been accustomed to. Spoiled as far as the draft goes and the intrigue and the fun, the excitement of it. But more importantly now, it's about the championships that we're still seeking with this basketball team. Have to get one first, but the championship that we're seeking with this basketball team.
How about appearance?
An appearance, yeah. An appearance would be nice. But once you get there, we're like, nah, you got to win this thing. Yeah, you're one of the final two teams. Win this thing. And we've also been asking for your favorite, one of your television shows that doesn't get enough credit. Like, I don't think Martin gets enough credit in his place in history for whatever reason. 5 years, not long enough shelf life, not enough running time. All of that, I think, is a very good one. We got a lot of people on Twitter throwing some stuff. Alfie says, Alfie from Abington, and we get back to the phones. Alfie jumps in on Twitter and he throws at us that Living Single doesn't get his credit because of Friends that came out a year later. And it's, in all caps here, the same damn show.
I mean, he's not wrong.
He's not wrong. Queen Latifah, Kim Fields, their show, six Friends. And it was the same thing, except where it was a black cast.
Hanging out in the apartment.
Hanging out in the apartment. They worked, same deal. Didn't last as long. It was a really good show. Friends is Friends.
Still trying to fathom. I'll never figure it out how the Friends cast afforded that apartment.
Well, the one was sublet, right? Monica's was sublet from a grandmother.
Oh, is that
like
how
that
worked?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sublet from a grandmother.
I did not know
who had passed away.
Gotcha. That makes way more sense.
Yeah, and then Chandler and Joey across the hall. Chandler had money, but they still split the cost. But
right.
Chandler worked and had money, and Joey just did what he did as an actor and making his money however he did it. So that's how they afforded that. It was a big apartment, wasn't it?
Huge.
Huge apartment. Huge apartment. Yeah.
I think Monica's was three bedrooms. It was at least two.
It was two.
Was it two?
It was two. But it was a big living room area where you could still have. Then you had like the balcony.
Yeah, and they had a balcony.
Yeah.
In New York?
Yeah.
You paid thousands of dollars for that.
Grandma.
I guess.
Yeah, grandma. Alfie also has some shows. Don't want to give them all out because we have a lot of callers here.
One is a great one. One of my favorites.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I already brought Married with Children, so we'll just say Married with Children. It's in my top three. So that's one of my all-time favorites. But we'll run some more of Alfie's going forward, and we continue to make fun of Shamar Moore as we go along with the show. 610-632-0975. Back to the phones we go. David in Burlington with us here tonight. Dave.
What's going on, good brothers?
What's up, Dave?
Everything's all right. So I got a couple points about the Sixers, but I have a Martin point
And then I have the show that I think is underrated.
Beautiful. Okay.
And for the record, I have my cousin, Michael G. Moy, was co-creator of Married with Children, which is interesting.
Really?
Yeah, I found out about 5 years ago. We connected, but, you know.
Great work by him.
He doesn't, yeah, he don't keep in touch with the family like that. Like, when he talked to you one time, you call him back. That number's been changed.
Wow.
It's all love. Yeah, but he spoke to my kids in my class, so that was more.
Oh, that's cool, man. That's cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, do I go to Sixers Point first?
Yes, please.
I think that I'm a little bit opposite from a lot of people. I'm listening to the Final Four teams. There's one thing, one word they kept using or phrases. They kept talking chemistry. We know each other. And I personally think that the best thing the Sixers could do is work on that bench, but leave the team alone. Let them gel. If you got to the second round and lost the way that you lost, they show that there is a future. But I think the most important thing that they could do, but this is all based on Doc Rivers and his willingness to actually coach, not manage time, is realize that Joel Embiid is 20-10 the moment he steps on the court. Why are you still running plays for him? Run the plays for run the motion offense for everyone else. Golden State didn't run plays for Steph per se. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so, and when you look at a lot of the great teams, they're great players. He gets his money. He gets his money whenever he wants it. So why are we running plays? And that's why the team falls off a cliff when he sits down, because now you're only just simply replacing him with inferior talent, and it shows. So I feel like if they change their offense to a motion offense where everybody gets touches, Joe knows enough when to get his, I think that we'd actually do quite well. But that means you actually got to kind of coach the players and not coach like minutes. So that's all on Glenn Rivers.
So that's a great point that you talk about coaching minutes versus coaching the player and doing what you're doing, needing to adjust. Again, the one thing that part of my reason why when he came in, when he was available first before they hired him and I said no, I didn't want him, is because of watching him from afar and hearing stuff just from being around the league now as long as I have been and just hearing stuff. And you're like, I can make my own opinion. And then when you hear stuff and it kind of backs it up, you're like, yeah, I'm done. And part of that was his stubbornness and where the blame, I thought, went a lot to Chris Paul, Blake Griffin specifically with the Clippers. While they may not have been ready and they didn't do their parts, I also thought Doc Rivers got off the hook a lot by them and that team specifically out west not winning when they put that whole squad together with Redick and Jordan as well. So I look at that and I say, hey, you know, I think he can be better. I give him credit for what he did.
You ain't got to sweet talk me. I've not liked Glenn Rivers since he was with the Atlanta Hawks.
Oh, see, I liked him then as a player.
When he was a player, I didn't like him.
Yeah, I liked him then. Yeah.
You know, but going on to the show, one of the most underrated shows is, and I'm such a, this is the corniest thing ever for me, The Smart Guy. Essence Atkins, Jason Weaver, Omar Goodman.
TNT Tamara's brother? He was
I loved that show. I watched that joint on the low religiously. I just never told nobody. So it's my first time actually acknowledging this.
And you did it in front of thousands.
but here's one quick note I wanted to give you on Martin. Number one, I don't think that Martin is underrated, but then again, I never paid attention to what mainstream America thought. So I never watched Friends. I never thought it was funny. I never found Seinfeld to be funny. Even when I've even gone to the Soup Nazi's kitchen before, and he really acts that way. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. He really does what he does. Yeah. I don't know if people remember that episode about the guy.
Classic.
But the one thing about Martin is I was similar to you where, like, when I was in college, when it was on every Thursday night, we had about 150 people in my apartment watching Martin. But the coolest thing ever was I didn't want to get in television. It was never my thought process. But long story short, years and years later, after I graduated college, I ended up being Dave Chappelle's rehearsal stand-in for the first season of Chappelle's Show.
Oh, that's dope. They all
thought I was talented because all I would do was remember what Martin would do. And I would just do it different than Dave.
Yeah.
But it was just, and then one day I told him, I was like, yeah, Martin is like my Richard Pryor. So I was like, he said, you know, you look familiar, everything you do, look familiar. I'm like, yeah, it's just Martin. What would Martin do? WWMD, and that's what I would do on the set.
That's dope.
And it would work. It would really work, man. But anyway, fellas, great show. Love listening to you. Stop hating on Shamar Moore, man.
Hey, man, you seen him dance. Stop it. Dave, do you want to hang out with us at Fan Fest? Because we can talk about this face-to-face.
Oh, for sure. You hate on Shamar like I used to hate on Al B. Sure, dog.
Listen, I'm light-skinned, so it's not a light-skinned thing. It's not a light-skinned thing. My man, stop doing that. All right, hang on, Dave. We'll talk to you, man. Really appreciate it. Tyler's going to get your info. Great breakdown of the Sixers, Tobias. And he's saying run it back. He's saying they were good enough to get to where they were, the injuries and all. But run it back. Stop changing the chemistry that is there. Now, the one question I'll bring up when Dave brings that up is the chemistry when it comes to the Boston Celtics. Yes, Brown, Smart, and Tatum. They brought Horford back, but he's been gone, and Robert Williams is there as well, so that's okay. So they do have some chemistry there. You go to Miami, Kyle Lowry was new, P.J. Tucker was new. Who else would they start? Max Strus, not new, but starting. And when you go out west with Dallas, chemistry-wise, Luka Doncic, Jalen Brunson, Maxi Kleber, yeah, Dorian Finney-Smith, they pretty much have a good cohesion there with what they have. So if that's the point, that you want to keep the chemistry there, this is what you have. And we brought this up earlier. You know, Dave brings it up now. Dave Burlington brings it up now, but we also brought it up. Do you simply want to keep them together because you think they can do something, as is. They've shown you enough. Give them more time. Stop changing stuff. Well, if you do, again, like Dave, let us know. 610-632-0975. I'm mad Dave held out on us like that about the David Chappelle stuff. We talk many times, and now he brings up he worked with Dave Chappelle.
Listen,
that's awesome.
Sometimes.
That's awesome. I like it, though. I respect it because I'm the same way.
I wouldn't say anything. You're the exact same. Devon, you and I have worked together for 5 years now, going on almost into year six.
Yeah.
Do you know how long it took me to find out what your birthday was?
Do you know my birthday?
Yes. But do you know why I know your birthday? Because I've spoken to other people and found it out that way. You didn't tell me.
Oh. Don't say anything.
Oh, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it.
Because you know I'm not. I'm not putting it on Twitter.
I'm not putting it out or anything like that. Because you know me, I'm the same way. Yeah. I did the morning show on my birthday this past year, and it was just like,
I'm coming to work every day.
Nobody found out until like weeks later.
I'll enjoy my text.
I'm not going to say a word about it to anybody.
Thank you, sir.
But yeah, it took me a long time. And you and I are friends, both on the air and off the air. And it took me a long time to figure out what your birthday was. So I get it.
So I respect it, Dave. I respect it. I really do. 610-632-0975, but that's pretty cool. Not only a cousin, as a writer and creator of Married with Children, one of my favorites of all time. I still watch it to this day. And then he stands in, for Dave on the Dave Chappelle show. Oh, man, that must have been great. Next time Dave calls in, we need to talk about some of those stories behind the scenes. Not stuff that, you know, can't be shared, but just what the experience was like to
be
around.
Cool stuff.
All that fun stuff. 610-632-0975. Robbie, checking in. Delco. What's up, Rob?
Devon, always a pleasure talking to you, man. Always look forward
Thank you,
to
man.
And Devon, I want your bosses to hear this, or everybody else to hear. I enjoy calling your show, Devon, because it's give and take. You give the callers their time. You know, they listen to you. You listen to them.
Disagree, agree. Doesn't matter. That's what a conversation is.
Like we're hanging out at the
house. Right.
Or sitting somewhere eating some wings.
That's right. That's what we're friends and family here, and we call each other out. And if you dance funny, I'm telling you.
Absolutely. So I always appreciate talking to you, Devon. I always look forward to it. So I got a show for you, Dan. I got an old school one. I'm going to bust out an old school
okay.
one. Okay. You know, I like to bring stuff out. Like we talked about Penny Hardaway last time.
Oh, yeah, man. Penny was my guy.
Another guy, Devon. Yeah, he's my guy too. Kind of similar. Tracy McGrady was another one, injuries kind of guy.
Yeah, it did. Still made the Hall of Fame, though.
But Devon, he's like that sixth, like, this is what, oh my gosh, if I could just mold it, like a player, that's what I want.
Boy, yeah.
You know, he's 6'7", 6'8", athletic guy that can run the court. You know what I mean? Like, we're talking about what the Sixers need. But Tracy McGrady is just another one. You know what I mean? Nasty, go down and throw down right on your head or something like that, coming down the lane, just like Penny would. Just like Penny would back in the day. But
athlete.
Devon, you said it. Two things the Sixers need, athleticism and toughness. Now, I'll take P.J. Tucker and Gordon, but I'm going to need something else, and I'm going to give you who my third guy is. We talked about him before. I'll take Tucker, you know why, Devon? Because he'll be the guy on the court that'll start screaming at some guys in the huddle, get on some guys.
That's right.
You know what I mean? And he's a guy, Devon, I couldn't stand him when we played him, but he's one of those guys you love him when he's on your team. You know what I mean?
That's correct.
He's an instigator. You know, he'll walk by, give you a little elbow, walking through, you know, passing by you on half court. Just let you know he's there. But it's that mindset, Devon. You know what I mean? And I think he'll kick Embiid in the rear end a little bit, too. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So give me P.J. Tucker. Give me Gordon. But the guy I want, Devon, somebody mentioned Zach LaVine. We talked about this other guy, too. I want Donovan Mitchell, man. I know he's got some holes in his game. You know, he's got to get pushed a little bit, but he's got that athleticism I want. And, you know, if we could get him, that would be my dream scenario. Get those two guys and Donovan Mitchell. You know what I mean? To add that athleticism.
Yeah.
To
the I just wonder, as far as LaVine, when we got the news this week that it appears that the team is letting other teams know that he is staying put and he's going to stick in Chicago. Then the other part with Donovan Mitchell is, with Quinn Snyder going, that's one to watch. Just to with Snyder going now, and that's always been his coach, what does he want them to do? Does he have that voice? Because I think he does. I mean, they brought in Dwayne Wade. They brought in Eric Paschal as a player, one of his friends, to be on the team. They've done stuff because Donovan Mitchell wanted it to happen. Now, do they do it again?
Devon, some of these callers, and I'm saying this tongue-in-cheek, they're crazy. I don't want to see Korkmaz again. I don't want to see.
I think it's more the starting four.
Yeah. I don't know what we can do. But I'm just tired of seeing, like, you know, these guys coming off the bench. I know Paul Reed. Like, I just want a whole new batch of guys. But, I mean, I know we can't do that. I'm living in the dream world. But, you know, I'll take this mindset, P.J. Tucker, the toughness. I'll take Gordon, who can shoot a little bit, even though he's a little bit older. And I would love to get like a Donovan Mitchell or a LaVine just to add that athleticism. But hey, you know, listen, Devon, that's the GM's job. You know what I mean? He's got
to
get.
Got to figure it out. We can talk about it, but they have to figure it out. We can only give them some ideas, but it's up to them.
He's got
to
get creative. This is what he's making, what, 10 plus mil a year for? This is what he's getting paid the big bucks.
Yeah, he's getting paid. Rob, can you give us a show?
Oh, Devon, you mentioned married with children. Come on. Like, you got who won't like a father put his hand in his pants, scored four touchdowns for Polk High? Remember, four touchdowns for Polk High. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
Now, I'm going to get my old school show with you because, Devon, you know what? It talked about interracial marriage. And it talked about something. People are so sensitive. Like, one race making fun of another race. Jeffersons. I love the Jeffersons, Devon, because you had Lionel, and I can't think of the daughter's name, that was with the other couple that. They were, you know, interracial. I mean, no, they weren't interracial. Were they? No.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, but I mean, but just like how the Jefferson, I mean, I loved it. Just how it was like a little bit of cutting edge. People are so sensitive now. You make fun of somebody, people get their feelings hurt, people go nuts. But I loved the Jeffersons, man. It was old school. Sherman Hemsley was, I think, it was hilarious.
Yeah, he was. So her name was Jenny.
Jenny and Lionel, yeah.
Yeah, so that was the daughter's name. And
the father and mother was an interracial couple.
Yes. Willis and it was Helen and Willis, I think it was.
Yeah, Helen. Yeah. Yep. Old school, you know what I mean? Yeah. I still watch those old shows with my mom.
Oh, of course. Of course, man. Listen, Rob, thanks for the call, man. Really appreciate it. Thanks, you Bob. Got it, man. And I think the Jeffersons do get their credit, though. They're just due. And it's funny because when Dave was talking about Martin not getting his just due, 150 people watching it in his apartment. We made it must-see. It was appointment television every Thursday or Sunday, whatever it was. Was it Thursday or Sunday? I can't remember. But the appointment television that it was for us. That's what I'm saying, in our community. But did it hit? And he wasn't worried about it hitting mainstream. But I kind of did want it to hit mainstream and for everybody to appreciate what was being put on television every time it aired.
Well, I think that anything that you like, whether it's TV, it's movies, it's music, it's food, it's whatever, anything that you enjoy, you want other people to like too. And you want it. You want to be able to talk about it. Now, like, you can go on Twitter and you want to chat about it with people. Anything that you like, you want other people to like. It's just like a human instinct, right?
I mean, we would go to school. This was I was in high school, and Married with Children was still on. And we were, did you see last night? Sunday night, Mario Richo. Did you see that last night?
Right. That's what
remember,
I mean.
Remember this line? You know, Martin, same deal. You remember this line? Yes. That's how it was. And you want everybody to also so enjoy like, it the
like
way
what you
enjoy
like.
It.
Which, you know, it's kind of like why when I talk about, you know, obviously you know what kind of music I'm into.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a lot of friends in any capacity. Work, at home, growing up. I have like 3 friends that like the same kind of music that I like. So I'm always chatting with them about it. But, you know, like if I go to Twitter, I just tweet out my thoughts and about, you know, an album or whatever. But I know that it's not going to, it doesn't hit with everybody because it's not what everybody likes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not a mainstream genre and it's not a, so when you have something that you inherently really enjoy, you want to talk about it with other people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, 610-632-0975. You know what, Ron? Hang on, Ron. I don't want to rush your phone call, so hang on, please, if you could. We'll get to you on the other side to talk about the Sixers, Tobias Harris, the draft in general, as we talk about him as a focal point tonight with the draft upcoming on Thursday night. The TV shows, one that you feel like does not get enough credit in history for you as a fan of that particular show, because I watched Martin, the reunion, today. And while it was great reminiscing about it, I still watch it on BET or whatever channels that it pops up on and still watch the reruns. But 4-year run, 5 years really, but 4 years where everybody from the cast was there, don't think it gets its credit that it deserves. So we're asking you some shows while we give away FanFest tickets, a show for you that you feel like does not get enough credit for its standing in television history. And it doesn't have to be a sitcom. 610-632-0975. I'm Devon Givens, Tyler Zuli. 9 o'clock hour. He'll give you the leftovers as he produces the show, doing a great job as always. Thank you, by the way, out there. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens. 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
Ah, 830, 97.5, The Fanatic. Devon Givens with you, 610-632-0975. Shamar Moore, Notorious, being a bad dancer, as witnessed by those videos on social media. Awful. Soul Train. Terrible. Terrible dancer. 610-632-0975. As we hang out with you until 10 o'clock.
You're not going to let that one go.
9:45, Tyler Zuli has the leftovers. No, I will not. I mean, brought up the Criminal Minds. I can't watch it.
It's a great show.
It's a good show. I can't watch him. I just can't. And I don't think he's a good actor either. So there's that.
Listen, to each their own. I get it. I understand.
Yeah, I really don't. And then he does that, and it's like, yo, that's just foolish. I mean, Dave said, back up off. I can't back off.
All right, so if he didn't do that, if he wasn't dancing ridiculous like that.
No, I just don't like him as an actor, but he made that worse.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I know you don't like him as an actor. Would you have this much vitriol if it was just like, yeah, he's all right. Like, I don't like him that much.
I don't know. Probably not, but he did it. So I can't unsee it. I can't. Okay. Like, that's the first thing I think of.
Understood. I get it.
It's bad. Like, really bad. It's the first thing I think of. When we were on the morning show, I was getting on, who are we getting on the morning show? And then we're going to go to Ron here. Who was it? Oh, well, you already knew this, though, but I had to let the morning show audience know that I can't stand Mario Lopez.
Oh, you hate him? Yeah.
Yeah. There's some guys just, or, listen, I don't discriminate. If I don't like it, I don't like it. Common said it best in one of his songs. If I don't like it, I don't like it. That don't mean that I'm hating. I just don't like it. I don't like him. I don't think he's good. It's my opinion. All right, let's go back to the phone. 610-632-0975. Then we'll get to some more of these tweets as well, because we have a bunch of them. From basketball to TV shows, we have a bunch. And we need to get everybody in here, starting with Ron and Marlton. With us here on this Tuesday night. Ron, how you doing? Thanks for hanging on.
Devon, how are you, my man?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks, man.
I got a good show, but I'm going to save it to the end.
Okay.
But where I'm going to start with these Sixers, we cannot come back with this run back. If I see Tobias Harris in the lineup again this year, I'm going to lose my mind.
See?
Because the problem with Tobias is
he did a
good regular season, and when the playoffs come, you get two or three games where they really need him, where they got to teach him how to shoot the ball and don't be scared. Like, and he's at his ceiling already, so we know what we're going to get. We got to move that piece.
And that was part of the thing is, you know, as we talk about it, discuss it, yes, I don't think there's much more he can do to get better. He can improve a tad bit on things like, look, his defense, the best we saw, Ron, in his career here in Philadelphia during the playoffs. He takes pride in that. Mm-hmm. He did something about it, and he was better. He's gotten better as a three-point shooter. Is that enough for you if they were to run it back with the four starters at least and then go from there?
No, because I think they have to get athletic. When you watch the Sixers, it's the same thing they did with Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons was your facilitator. They would go and get about four or five guys that they thought was 3-and-D guys and had Ben Simmons kick it out to all of them and make shots. They did the same thing when they found out Harden was going to be more of a facilitator. You got people standing around the top of the key shooting the ball. The problem with that is in the playoffs, they're not just going to let you just stand there and shoot. They're going to be on top of you. So where are the shot creators where they're able to dribble the ball to at least get the defender off of you, which will open up and be down low? Because if you're driving to the basket, he's driving also. You can dish it off to him for easy layups.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem with it is you need some athleticism. And my problem started with the Sixers when, you know it, Mikal should have been on this team, and there would have been a different team in the playoffs than what they were running out there with Korkmaz and the rest of these guys that shouldn't even be in the NBA playing. Get a starter minutes, I would say.
Sure, yeah. So now they have to, again, continue to try to find some more wing people to help things out and go from there. I hear you. All right, man, give us a show.
Now, this show, to me, made some of the best stars that we watch every day today.
And it doesn't get enough credit?
I think it should get even more credit. In Living Color made so many artists today that we watch every single day. How is that not like one of the best shows ever that created all these superstars? Because a lot of them started there.
A lot of them. You talk about Damon was there, David Allen Greer, Tommy Davidson, Jim Carrey.
J-Lo was a dancer.
Yeah, J-Lo was a dancer, yeah.
Jim Carrey, everybody started on that show.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. So when you talk about sketch comedy and all, and of course, it can't be Saturday Night Live, but
right.
It most definitely did a lot.
It did a lot
for a lot of people. Absolutely. That's a really good one. You know what, Ron? Hang on, man. We qualify you for some FanFest tickets.
Great,
what's going on with you there. Hang on, man. Good to hear from you as always. We really appreciate it. Again, FanFest 2022 schedule Saturday, October 1st. That's from 1 to 5 at Xfinity Live. You know where it is, right there at the sports complex. Free parking, we got you covered. Must be 21 to enter. So even if you're 20 now, but you must be 21 by October 1st to come hang out with us at Xfinity Live. Stay tuned as the Fanatic gives you more updates for special guests, events, and all the fun for that particular day, October 1st, which will be FanFest 2022. And see, this is why we asked the question, because look at where that one went. Look where that one went. Ron said, if I see Tobias Harris one more time, I'm going to lose my mind. Then we had Rob talking about, no, keep it here. I'm tired of change. Keep it here. Now, are we keeping him here for keeping it here's sake? Or are we keeping it here because the talent level is good enough for you to win in the Eastern Conference? You can stack up against the Boston Celtics. That's why we asked the question.
And that's the problem right there, is the keeping it here for keeping it here's sake conversation.
Continuity.
It has nothing to do with continuity for me. I understand that this is not, 2K, and it's not just like plug and play and you simulate the season, and if you've got the best roster, you're going to win the championship. I understand that there is chemistry and things exist in real life. Like, these are human beings that need to operate within the construct of a team with other human beings. But it has nothing to do with running it back for me for continuity's sake. I think the run it back portion is because they've put themselves in this situation where I don't know if they get a return that they're desiring in order to get better. Like, trading Tobias Harris either for the depth that you're looking for, like a starter and two bench pieces, or as part of a big superstar trade. I don't know if those are feasible. And then in the end,
real fast, I don't think he nets you a superstar trade. It's just a big trade.
I'm talking about as part of a trade.
Okay.
If you want a superstar, if you want Donovan Mitchell, like we've had callers say, and I would not be opposed to having Donovan Mitchell, the reality of the situation is if you want Donovan Mitchell, you're trading Tyrese Maxey.
Fair enough. 610-632-0975. Got to get some of these tweets in, but first let's go to Bill in Schwanksville. Always great to catch up with Bill. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, Devon. Happy belated or early birthday, bud.
Yeah, right?
I'm unlike you. I don't tell anybody my birthday.
Thank you.
I'm pretty, it's just another day to me.
Yeah, and look, I'm always so happy to get there, right?
Yeah.
But it's just I don't need you know I get all that from who I need to get it from and all the happy birthdays and I love yous and I just keep going with my day.
I agree. You know, as far as the Sixers go, I've had this conversation with you a couple times and you know, sort of going against the topic, but you know, my thing is with Doc Rivers, and I know he's here. They just don't have a system to bomb. And you know, with him, you know, like Tobias to me is good enough. You know, I like Tobias, but he's not coached or for some reason, you know, I don't know, maybe intelligent wise to play basketball the way he should be playing. Like to me, Devon, he's 6'9", he can slash.
Yeah.
Iguodala, he can finish on the fast break.
The difference is Iguodala is super athletic, was super athletic.
Correct. But so Tobias is pretty athletic. Now, you know, he's gotten better on defense. He's a good rebounder. He's like, you know, an Iguodala. He's good all around. He's a good, you know, little passer. But he's got to learn to move without the ball. You know, like that's what I'm saying to you is the system. So, like, Horford, as much as everybody hated Horford, you know, they put him in the corner like baby, you know, and, you know, dancing with the, you know, dirty dancing. Horford would have been perfect. At power forward, you get him at the top of the key, he faces the basket, dumps it down, or he hits that little jump shot. He's not a three-point shooter. He's just not. And that's what they, you know, again, but that was the system they put him in. And I think the system is what kills them. Besides not having, you know, like I told you before, the guard, I just don't think Harden, you know, he's kind of past his prime. Mm-hmm. And just like I said to you with Embiid, you know, he can't, like these superstars at the end of the game, he just can't drive to the hoop and get buckets. He just can't. You know, as athletic as he is, he's nowhere near as close as, you know, 15, 20 guys in the league that could just get to the basket and flat out score. He's incredibly athletic for a center, but he just can't do that at the end of the game. But I just think, you know, Doc Rivers, and like I told you, I just don't understand, you know, they run an offense where everybody stands around the perimeter and just watches each other and, you know, basically goes one on, you know, watch Joel or watch Harden or watch Tobias just go one. Nobody cuts to the basket. It drives me, you know, nuts. And the system is what gets me, Devon. You know, I told you during the playoffs, it's like the teams just play a zone against the Sixers and nobody's, you know, like you think they would practice three guys on a beat or double teaming all practice. That's all. And guys, like, this is how you cut. This is where you go.
Right.
And it's like they don't do it. You know, it's so frustrating. And I told you this before, you know, like you, I don't know about you, but winning is a disease. It's a culture. You know, like for me, there's just some people that know how to win. All right. And you know, winners win and they know how to win. And for some reason, a lot of these guys in this franchise just doesn't, you know, Harden's never won. There's something to say about
none,
that.
None of them you have, like, won. From upstairs to except for Doc Rivers, he's the one.
Correct. And he had a, you know, a ready-made, you know, team. He did that, you know, in Boston. He had a ready-made, you know, he had great teams in L.A. He just couldn't, you know, again, he just didn't have a system. He just relied on the superstars to kind of get him over the hump. Where, you know, in Boston, he had three guys that could, you know, especially two that could just get to the hole.
Yeah.
And flat out shoot, you know, with Pierce and Allen. But, you know, it's just, you know, like I said, it's a culture thing. You know, like winners just, and you know that, winners in all sports just know how to win. And Boston's got kind of got that thing there, like we're Tice, Horford. They buy into that system, and they look so much better, and everybody appreciates them. They make them feel like, man, you're one of the top five guys on this team. We need you. Where the Sixers, it's not like that. It's not a culture like that. And it's just frustrating.
It's crazy. We were just talking about culture yesterday, a little bit on the morning show, just because culture, I think, is important. And you just wonder if that's in fact here. Bill, do you have a show for us?
Yeah, I you know, it's a great topic, Devon. You know, I was going to say, you know, I don't think the game shows, the old game show, I don't know how old you are, I'm 50. The game shows, like, you know, the Battle of the Network Stars and the old Hollywood Squares.
Hollywood Squares, I remember.
Hollywood Game.
Remember that.
And, you know, even the old Family Feud and the old Price is Right.
I don't like the new Family Feud because I don't like Steve Harvey. And
I'm with you.
Yeah, but I like the old one. Yeah.
I love it.
That's why, Bill, we do Family Game Night on Thursdays. And part of the reason, of course, because of the pandemic, all that, we wanted something fun to do. Yeah. But the first one we did, because it was coming back, it was a show that I liked growing up as a kid on a random TV station, was Supermarket Sweep.
Oh, yeah. That's a classic.
That's a classic. Right. Yeah.
And one sitcom, I don't know if any, I'm sure, how old are you, Devon?
45.
Okay, 45. So you might remember, but a basketball that doesn't get its due is White Shadow. White Shadow was incredible.
Yeah, see, my dad would talk about it. I don't know much. I know it. I know about it, but I didn't watch it. Yeah.
Great show.
Hey, man, listen, you want to qualify for
this? Hey, Devon, have a great one.
Hey, you got it. You want to qualify for the passes?
When is that?
October 1st.
I'm a school teacher, Devon. I always usually, so it's pretty tough. It's what day is it?
October 1st.
Oh, yeah, I'll qualify.
All right, you got it, man. Saturday, 1 to 5. Bill, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. 610-632-0975. Great breakdown from everybody tonight so far. We've begun at 6 o'clock. We're at 8:45. We appreciate you hanging with us. Devon Givens until 10. 610-632-0975. A lot of deep dive, a lot of thought put into your phone call about this. And we always get it, but, you know, I love stuff like this, especially when it comes to the Sixers when we dive in with the draft coming. And it's not just a simple, do you trade Tobias Harris, do you keep him? No, it's not about that. It's about more of what this team needs, what he did, giving him credit for what he did the latter part of this season and into the postseason. I thought he was really good. And he showed you that maybe you can keep this thing going, but should you? And since they are so hamstrung with so many things because of the financial part of it, he is one that could net you something back. Should you go and move him because of that reason? So that's why I always love these conversations. Really enjoy sitting here and breaking things down the way that we all are tonight, again, until 10 o'clock, because we're not just coming with trade him, I can't stand him, even though we did get one already where Ron said, I can't stand seeing him anymore, but Ryan obviously went into depth as to why, not just seeing him in the uniform anymore. We go to Georgia, check in with my man, Shan. I found Shannon on Twitter. Shan, I found you on Twitter, man.
All right, man. About time, brother.
Hey, listen, I didn't know. And I started following you because I had to.
It's all good, man.
My man, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. It was too hot to take my walk tonight, so I'm sitting there eating some Popeyes, so. But,
always great to have Popeyes. You got it? What'd you get? Popeyes, the strips?
Oh, man, my wife, man, she told me about losing weight, then she comes home with some back on Popeyes fried chicken. I'm like, come on, you know?
There you go. My go-to now is
you can't bring the stuff in the house, man.
I understand. Exactly. You got to tell her. If she's going to do that, she got to bring the fish in, the shrimp maybe, but I got to go with the chicken strips, man, and the mashed potatoes.
Yeah, last thing I needed right now, but it's all good.
It tastes good.
Real quick on the Sixers, you know, I feel bad for Tobias because Tobias played his butt off, man, in that series.
You know me, I'm tough on him, but I gave him credit.
Yeah, he's probably the best player on the team in the playoffs, you know, in my opinion. And everything starts with the fact that we got a 33-year-old guy that's about to sign for $42 million that had more turnovers in the second half than buckets in six games in a playoff series. It was severely outplayed by Max Strauss. I don't even understand how it can be even a thought in someone's mind that we move forward with James Harden, any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
It's funny because we're talking Max Strauss, you know.
Max Strauss.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Yeah.
you know, exactly.
I just don't
right?
want people
you know,
coming
know the
at
guy's you. Last name, you know. Yeah. You know, holds this guy to more turnovers. We're not talking about Drew Holiday. We're not talking about Marcus Smart. We're not talking about no. We're talking about Max Strus. You know, the idea of moving forward with him, it's just beyond me. I feel sorry because Tobias signed that contract. That's the only reason why, you know, he gets the negative attention in Philadelphia. Does the guy's a solid player? He has actually played his best ball on the Doc Rivers. You know that. You know all his career.
But they don't. But they don't do the pick and roll like they did in L.A. And
and they don't have Chris Paul running. You know, running that team. And,
well, he wasn't there at that time. He was gone.
No, I think Chris. Who was point guard at the Clippers at the time? I think Chris was there for 2 years.
I can't remember who. I want to say like Darren Collison, maybe something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think he got 2 years there with Tobias. I could be wrong also with that. We'd have to double check that. But it's the chemistry. I've been saying since they brought him. I think, man, if you let him be your sixth man, you know, I don't let him be my Ricky Pierce. You know, hell, if Kevin McHale can come off the bench be a sixth man for most of his career, I think Tobias Harris can too. I think he would be.
He's not
I think
doing
he'd be
that.
A, perfect candidate.
He's not
you know,
doing that. He wants more touches, and he might get more touches that way. Is coming off the bench,
and
he would be the primary, but he's not doing that. He thinks, I know for a fact. Here's why I know for a fact.
Yes.
They think that they can average more if they had more opportunity.
Well, of course he could.
But will it mean winning? That's the problem. We don't know that.
Yeah, I think the Golden State Warriors were a prime example of that. You know,
sacrifice,
putting people in the best situations. You know, all this stuff.
Them accepting their roles too.
Exactly, Andrew Wiggins. All these years.
Oh man,
look what they did. He doesn't have the attitude to play. You know, and they put him in the right position, and the guy flourished, you know? So I refuse to believe that Golden State is the most talented team in the league right now. I don't think so. They got, you know, the most incredible shooter I've ever seen, but they're not the most talented team.
No, no.
But daggone it, if you were to tell me at the beginning of this series that they would hold Boston to average 93 points per game in the playoffs, you know, that is sacrifice. That's everybody on the team stepping up, doing what you need to do. Philadelphia does not have the two-way players, starting with James Harden. That's just a pet peeve of mine. I love basketball. I know this game. I've been watching it forever. You know that. And I cannot justify an all-time great player that gives zero effort on defense. At the end of the day, I play too much basketball. You know, I don't like guys that got the ball the whole time. They can shoot. Oh man, look at all these points I scored. I don't give a crap, man. I'm picking up your man because you're not even making an effort on
defense.
At the end of the season, teams get tired of that crap.
Absolutely.
Teammates get tired of that stuff, man. Yep. You know why? He ain't defending. And then the coach, you know, and I hated that. I saw on the sidelines players getting on Maxey when I saw Maxey giving 120% effort on both ends of the court. I didn't see Harden doing that.
That's when I loved that Maxey kind of bit back because he's like, yo, hang on, time out. I'm not the best defender, but I'm hustling out there. I'm giving effort, and I love to see it too. Shan, can you give us a television show that doesn't maybe get enough respect?
Oh, my God.
As we talk about it.
Devon, that's a hard, hard question because there's so many. I'm a TV guy.
Yeah.
I can't consider any show that's in syndication, you know, as a show that didn't get enough respect because even Martin, I mean, hell, Martin comes on 20 times a day right now in syndication, you know.
He does.
But there's been so many shows over the years, a lot of shows that got canceled. A lot of them were sci-fi shows. Firefly comes to mind. A guy earlier said The Strain. The Strain was a phenomenal show on Fox for FX for a couple seasons. Hannibal was a great show. I don't know why that left so early. So there's quite a few that are really good shows, but for some reason do not pick up that fan base, but that should have been around a lot longer.
All right. Shan, thanks as always, man. Good to hear you. Enjoy the Popeyes while you're sitting out on the porch on the deck.
Sure enough, brother.
All right, man. Take care. We'll talk to you. 610-632-0975. This Tobias Harris, he is a...
He's been a polarizing figure in this city for a long time.
Yes, he has. And I've always liked him. I don't dislike him. I just don't think that, you know, is he a difference maker? I don't know. He might think so. He should think he is. I don't know. Let me give you this one because we got Chris, Mark, Chris, Arthur wants to talk about John Tortorella. It was great talking to John Tortorella Monday on the morning show. He was great. Jerry Biggins says, what can Tobias and the 23rd pick realistically get us back? I'm feeling like Thibault may have a little more to give, still young. He's 25, Thibault. He should be able to give more. Will he give you more offensively? Still young. Hasn't hit his first contract yet. Drives me nuts that he can't do more offensively. Drives me crazy.
And that right there, what you just said, he hasn't hit his first contract yet, is exactly why
he's eligible now.
Looking to move him.
Okay.
Because I don't want
to
be.
You don't have to, though.
Well, no, but you don't have to.
He can be a restricted free agent next summer.
But I'm not paying him. That's the thing.
Well, maybe this year he'll come back and show you that he's worth it.
Well, right now, sure. If that happens, then you've got a different
conversation. That's what I'm saying. But you do have options where you don't have to do it right now.
Yes. But what I'm saying is, I would be looking to move on because of the fact I don't want to be the one to have to make that decision.
Mm. Still is a second team all defender off the bench.
That's not worth $80 million.
I wouldn't give him 80. What if there was 40?
For how many years?
Four.
I'm not giving him $10 million.
No.
Well, and remember, too, you and I were talking before the show, we were talking about there's a lot of players in the NBA, just because of the way the contracts are structured, that are not as valuable as what their contract
four
is.
4 years what for him? You got to respect the defense. He's
correct.
It's legit that he's been voted this. What is a four-year contract worth what?
32. I'd give him 8 a year. That's all I'm giving him. He's not valuable to me above like a P.J. Tucker who just opted out of $8 million. He does not hold the value to me that a P.J. Tucker would, and he just opted out of an $8 million contract.
Let me see.
Or 7 and change.
I want to give you a prime one here. Dorian Finney-Smith. What do you think of him? Dallas.
He's a better shooter.
Is he a better defender?
No.
Defender.
He's a good defender.
Okay.
I think that Matisse is a better defender, but Finney-Smith is a much better shooter.
Here's his contract that he just signed.
Yeah.
He was going to be a free agent this offseason. 4 years, $52 million.
Yeah, and listen, I'm not saying that the Sixers
aren't going to. Now, again, you may not want to give him 52, but he got 4 for 52. So the argument from his camp will be Dorian Finney-Smith.
Correct. And I'm not saying that the Sixers aren't
going to. And he's 29, by the way.
I wouldn't do it. Mm. If I were in Daryl Morey's and Elton Brand's shoes, I would not do that. I would not give him that kind of money. He's not worth it.
He's a career averager, average points per game, 11 points and 4.7 rebounds.
That's what I mean. What's Thibault at? 6?
Probably.
7-1 maybe?
3 seasons, though. That's it. 3 seasons.
Yeah.
Dorian Finney-Smith has had way more.
It's enough.
Okay.
I've seen enough.
All right. You got it. 610-632-0975. Chris, when we come back, we come to you. Callie, Mark, Chris, Arthur, one open phone line. And I got to tell you, I have tattoos. I wouldn't get this one. I'll tell you what it is. This was nuts. I'll tell you what it is when we come back right here at 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone to Vaughn Gibbons on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, 903. Sorry about that. Had to finish that piece of cake I had, pound cake, there during the break. Scarf it down during the break. Drink some tea. Watch the Phillies. Talk to Tyler. 610-632-0975. I didn't answer the question from Jerry about Tobias and the 23rd. I can't call him Toby. Tobias and the 23rd pick.
you tried really hard there to do it, and you're like, nah,
I'm
good.
Doing that. Mentioned Harrison Barnes earlier, so I would say something like Harrison Barnes and Rashawn Holmes. Is that Jerry? I hope that's a good enough example for you. Yeah, that's one. Like that. Holmes and Barnes. So then you get another starter to replace Tobias Harris and you have your backup big in Rashawn Holmes. He won't be happy about it because he thinks he's a starter in this league. But, yeah, that's your answer right there. Rashawn Holmes would be good with Golden State. He would be. Reggie on Twitter says, man, I feel sorry for Sixer fans. They're reaching for guys like Buddy Hield, TJ Warren, Eric Gordon, PJ Tucker, who's 37 years old. Well, again, maybe not all of them. Of course, you're not going to get all four of them, but maybe not all of them all in one summer. But they all fit something that the Sixers could most definitely use. And Ramid on Twitter I didn't see this, but Ramid has this on Twitter with the trade machine. The Sixers get OG Anunoby, Reggie Bullock, Dorian Finney-Smith, and Danilo Banton from Toronto. Dallas, in the three-team deal, gets Harris Thybul and Zvi Mihailik, who opted in to his $1.7 million earlier today. Toronto then gets Tim Hardaway Jr. and Shake Milton. This trade is successful, and the Sixers can sign Malik Monk to the mid-level exception. With the team, bring Maxi off the bench as a sixth man, playing starter minutes. That's Ramid's game plan for the Sixers this offseason. That's a big deal. So when you talk about a big deal, not a blockbuster, but a big deal, that would be a headline on any of the national networks. That's a headline. OG Anunoby, Tobias Harris, and Tim Hardaway Jr. headlining a deal like that. The Sixers, they make out well. Anunoby, Dorian Finney-Smith, and Reggie Bullock. That's why it's not happening, Mid. Because they get everything. Everything. Will, 1984, Will Jones, 1984 on Twitter. Devon, I couldn't stand Friends. My cousin used to watch it, and I just didn't think it was funny. Friends was funny. It was definitely funny.
Friends is funny in spots.
Well, most things have its spots.
Well, so
Friends was funny.
What I mean by that is, I think that there are times, and obviously it's a sitcom, it's trying to be funny, but there are certain times where scenes would flow, and it's like, all right, this is good. And then there's times where it feels like, you know, they've forced this comedic aspect into a scene, and it's like, yeah, this didn't.
Sometimes it's too much. Yeah, sometimes it's too much. I agree. Actually, you know what? We're supposed to go to New York soon. Me and the kids. We're going to New York, and
Okay. Two
of my three daughters like Friends like I do.
Okay.
And we're going to the Friends Experience.
Do you go to the...
Yeah, it's like the apartment. The coffee shop.
That's kind of cool.
Different type of stuff.
Especially since you guys like it. It's going to be a cool bonding experience.
Yeah,
for you.
My youngest told me about it. My one daughter, who doesn't really get into it like we do, her best friend, who's like my other daughter, she went and she enjoyed it. And so we're going to go check it out when we go to New York and take a peek at it, see what it's all about. Jonesy Wales, by the way, Stacy, Quiet Storm 12, who's a Shamar Moore fan. I don't know what's wrong with Stacy. She says she hated Friends, and she put it in parentheses because I always thought it was a ripoff from Living Single. Yes, same thing that Alfie said, but loved and still watched to this day, Seinfeld. Yeah. Jonesy_Wales. Dude, 5 years is a hell of a run. Enough with the only. It takes 3-4 seasons to get into syndication, which is super rare. Different World was a monster. Also in syndication, Sinbad, Cree, Jasmine, et al. Get paid every time it plays. Yes, it does. I don't think it gets, though, with the only 5 seasons. We see sitcoms go way longer, Jonesy Wales, and we know why it stopped. We know why it stopped. And that's why it was tough, of course. So, yes, I thought it was too short. Especially when we talk about the other ones, where we mix them in. We talk about all-time greats of whether Seinfeld, Friends, Married with Children, Sanford and Son, the Jeffersons, whatever, the longevity. 5 should be more. Yes, so it's only still, to me. It takes 3-4 seasons to get in syndication, meaning it was really, really good. Really, really good. Great to us. Thought it should have went longer. I don't think it gets its just due. It's my opinion. 610-632-0971. We got a lot of these here, too, on social media here. So we'll get to these and some of the shows that don't get enough credit. 610-632-0975. And let's go back to the phones. Chris in Overbrook has been waiting patiently. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Devon. How you doing, man?
Good, man. Thank you. How are you?
Yeah, doing great, brother.
Glad to hear it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, yeah, I don't know. Tobias shouldn't even have been on this team in the first place, really, because he shot us out of game six. I think against Toronto, when we played them in the playoffs the first time when we hit the last shot, when the guy hit the last shot. He shot like three bricks in a row in that game six. And then we reward him with a $100 million contract.
I got you, man. I got it.
I didn't think he should have been here in the first place. But now that we have him and he's already here, I just say keep him and just keep on building, because we're doing the same thing that we did with Iguodala. Like, we put him on a pedestal because he was making all that money and thought he was a superstar. But he was never a superstar. But we should never have treated him like that in the first place and just kept building with him.
Well, I mean, listen, and that's what we talk about when we start to speak about the consistency here and making sure that things stay the same. You don't have to change too much. You just tweak around because you want that winning consistency. And while they have given it to us for five seasons of playoff basketball, they haven't given us what we really want, which is the extended run in the playoffs. So that's where they go and they decide they need to change this, they need to change that. And they might do the same thing this offseason, Chris, because they haven't gotten there.
I mean, we're going to have to get some pieces in here, because first thing we got to do, really, in my opinion, is get as far away from James Harden as we possibly can.
Well, he's not going anywhere.
First of all, I never saw a second-year player yelling at a veteran like that before.
I think he just simply had enough.
I guess they were getting on him, but I don't really see him coming back and playing like he should like that. I mean, he might as well put a screen door on him on the defense at the end of the ball. Got people like him, Carmelo, even Iverson, and there's no ball movement with them. They get the ball, everybody stands around and watches him. He takes the shot, he misses, we don't get the rebound, and then we're back on our heels.
I'm with you, man.
There's no flow to the offense. You don't see any cuts. You don't see any screens. People going around here. It's one pick. He's doing the little route.
Yeah.
If he scores, that's what's up. You know what I mean? But if he doesn't, the rebound goes off. We have nobody to get the rebound. What I would really do, and like the Sixers to do, is to get Andre Drummond back in here. I think he's a free agent. He's 28 years old. I would get him in here.
I think he believes he's going to get some good money this offseason. He wants to start again. So I'd wonder if,
give it to him.
If that
give it
to you him. Can't. How are you going to do that with
he's
Embiid?
28 years old. I'm all for it. And he likes to play basketball. He's a hard nosed player. He keeps his body in shape. What else do you want?
The problem is Joel Embiid is starting. That's what I want. I can allocate my money elsewhere.
Yeah, I understand, but every time, and there's been one season where Embiid has been healthy in the playoffs since he's been here. Only one season he's been healthy. So
yeah.
In my mind, if we want to keep Embiid, we need somebody that's going to back him up, because it seems like it's just going to happen.
Well, not for that money as a backup. I wouldn't mind having him on the team again. But money-wise, I'm sure he wants a little bit more than I would be willing to give him, Chris. Listen, man, what you got TV show-wise for us that doesn't get enough credit?
I don't know if they said this already, but the Wayans brothers.
That's a good one. We had that on Twitter, but I was waiting for someone to say it. Thanks, yeah, man. Yeah. You want to qualify for FanFest tickets?
Yeah.
You got to hang on, Chris. Really appreciate it. Wayans Brothers was a good show. It was a good show. I like it. Marlon and Sean Wayans, John Witherspoon. Good show. I like it. I don't like Sean Wayans, but I was a big fan of Marlon, John Witherspoon, and And Dee. She was great, too. But Sean Wayans, I thought he was the worst of all the Wayans family. So Alfie from Abington, that was one of his shows as well. Honorable mention, doesn't get enough credit. It was really, really good. In syndication, like Jonesy Wales said. So that one, that's a good show. I don't know where it's supposed to be. Maybe it's right where it is supposed to be. But it's a really good show. By the way, Phillies and the Rangers in the fourth inning right now, scoreless. And the Phillies have a runner on second with two outs in the fourth inning right now against the Texas Rangers. So we hope that they take this one tonight. Kyle Gibson on the mound against his former club. And Zach Wheeler also on the mound tomorrow afternoon. Going for the two-game sweep, hopefully, after tonight. Can I say this before we get to Chris?
You can say whatever you want. It's your show.
I brought up...
Well, within the context of the FCC, of course.
I brought up the tattoo. I said I have tattoos. And I'm real particular about the ones that I get.
As you should be. They're on your body forever.
Did you see the one that the guy... All right, I mentioned it wasn't the guy with the Boston Celtics 18th championship banner that he had tattooed on his arm that said 2022 World NBA World Champion.
Right.
He was wrong. He can get it adjusted, 23, maybe 24 or something as they go along, but he looks foolish. 15 minutes of fame, but he looks foolish. There's a guy out there, and you know I love sneakers. Nike is my favorite. I'm a big New Balance guy. I love sneakers. I would never get the sneakers, not the logo, not the swoosh, not the three stripes from Adidas, not the N for the New Balance, not the Under Armour, whatever thing that is.
It's a U and an A.
All right.
Upside down? Yeah, it's like...
Yeah, but there's no A. It doesn't have the line to go through the A.
The U is the line. The U in the A is the line.
That's not good enough for me. It's not good enough.
I mean, listen, I didn't make it.
I don't love the logo.
I don't have...
But
I'm
it
not
is
a
famous
designer.
Logo.
I barely know how to use paint.
Yeah.
Microsoft Paint. I can't use that.
I wouldn't have done it. But it works for them. I would never get an entire shoe tattooed on my feet. Like it's a real shoe.
Oh my goodness. Wait, hold on. They got like the top of the shoe with laces.
The shoe
and
with laces, the low, the swoosh on the side, on both sides of the feet, on the outside and the inside of the feet, the back. It's like wearing a sneaker. It looks terrible.
First and foremost, that's a terrible tattoo. Second,
terrible.
That had to hurt tremendously bad.
I mean, terrible. It's awful.
Because there are spots on your body, obviously, you know, the spots that don't have as much muscle or fat protecting around them. That's why they always say the ribs hurt a lot and, you know, like the neck and things like that. Your foot has no padding at all. It's just your foot and it's like your skin and bones. So, sit through that?
It's a pair of the Nike Dunk Lows that he based this off of. I'm sending it to you now. And it looks really, really bad. Really bad. Makes my legs hurt.
Yeah, that looks terrible. For the tattoo itself is bad.
Yes. You can't do that. Awful. Awful. The man tattooed his feet like a pair of Nike Dunks. And by the way, they can only go so far because he had to stop at the toes. So the toes are left out. It's like he has a pair of Nike Dunks on and his feet grew too big and now his toes are hanging out of his sneakers. That's what it looks like. Awful. I'll retweet it right now on this one.
This guy, I mean, first and foremost, it's terrible. We've established that.
This is awful.
I got to give this guy credit.
Oh my goodness.
For one thing, beyond stupidity, because this is awful. This is a terrible, terrible decision. But this dude got it to, like you were laying out, it looks like the sneaker. So there are two spots, one on the side of each foot and on basically his Achilles tendon.
Yes.
Where he got legitimately like coloring done.
Yes.
To where, like, that had to hurt so bad.
My legs hurt right now.
I'm not like the world's class, like I'm not a world class tough guy. I also don't think I'm a wimp, but I'm definitely not a tough guy either. I'd be passing out.
That's
having that lining
just
done.
Off. So if you follow me on Twitter at DevonG975, that's DevonG975. You'll see I just retweeted it, and it's terrible. And if you don't follow me and you just want to look it up, simply put in the search Nike tattoo. And you'll see maybe a few swooshes from some other people, but then you'll get to it. This was foolish. 610-632-0975. And it looked like it really hurts. Really hurts.
Really hurt.
Really
that,
hurt.
That's pain right there.
By the way, I am looking for one, a tattoo artist. I've had a few.
Me too.
Given to me, but everybody's booked. I don't feel like waiting. Not that I'm saying like, oh, we're on the radio, we're going to get. I just mean if they have some open spots.
Hey, if you've got it, if you got an open spot, get Devon in. He's on the radio.
So if anybody knows some good ones, send it to me on Twitter. Yeah, send it to me on Twitter. And we'll see. Tyler's looking for one, too.
It depends on like what kind of work you do that we're looking to get done. Like, because obviously people are some artists are good at certain things. You know what I mean?
You know mine.
Yeah.
I have to get something covered up, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's all I'm doing. Nothing special. I just got to get something covered up. So.
Well, so the reason that I ask is obviously, you know, different artists are good at different stuff. Some are good at realism. Some are good at cartoon-looking stuff.
Right.
Lettering. So.
Faces.
That right. Know,
yeah,
right.
All that stuff. So, yeah. So, yeah, send it our way. And we'll
just
we'll
don't get, just promise me you're not going to get shoes on your feet.
No, don't do that. Don't put the shoes on your feet. Well, put your shoes on, not in the tattoo.
Yes, wear shoes.
Not in the tattoo. Chris in South Philly here on 97.5. What's up, Chris?
How you doing, Devon?
Good, man.
You're talking about those tattoos. You had me cringing the entire time because I was just thinking, I tore my Achilles and the pain I went through that.
Yeah.
So, but.
And he willingly decided to have a needle on the back of his Achilles. And like the dark spot of the sneaker, just coloring it in, all black.
Yeah, well, the Doobie Brother says that's a full belief. you know, I used to get excited about the NBA draft, but because most of the players are based on potential, I can't get excited about any of the draft choices. And the biggest one is Doc doesn't play anybody. You know, you look at Golden State, you look at Memphis, you look at Miami. You know, they're playing the young guys. You know, and sometimes you got to play your way in the league and you got to play your way out of the league. But you got to find out if they can play, you know, and then sitting on the bench and just going through walkthroughs is not really the way a great indicator on the potential or the drive of a player. Right. And that's something that concerns me. I'm not going to bash Tobias because I think he's a good solid.
And again, we weren't trying to bash Tobias. We were simply talking about what the fit is and what is best for the team.
Yeah, exactly. And I would say something about Harden. The only thing I would say about Harden is stop going to the clubs and go to the gym and work out and get in shape. You know, but that's the only concern I have about him. Regarding a TV series, one caller, he forgot to mention Jamie Foxx on Living Color.
I forgot. How did I forget about Jamie Foxx?
yeah, my brother.
How did I do that?
Yeah, that was I was listening. As you can see, I've been on for a while, so I've been paying attention.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
You know, I'm not going to say this was a great show, but it was a darn good show. Rocked.
That was a good show. That was a good show. That really was. Yep. How many seasons was that?
You know, Charles Dutton.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about how many seasons. It was a good show, though. It really was. Sitcom, but it also had a lot of messages in there.
A ton of messages.
Yeah, a lot of them. And for people who don't know who Charles Dutton is, he was the field guy for Rudy, the movie Rudy.
He was the janitor for
Janitor
Rudy.
And field guy, whatever he was for Rudy, Charles Dutton, Rock. That was a good show. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Chris, you want to qualify to hang out with us October 1st, man's Fan Fest?
Yeah, and you remember me, and I'll bring you a Wendy's Vanilla Frosty.
You know what? You know, it's crazy. We can get into a big fight about this. I was arguing with Danny Palmels and some of his people from NBC Sports Philly on Twitter. They have a strawberry right now.
Nah, I don't like strawberry.
But they said vanilla is out right now for the moment because strawberry's in, so I need to try it.
I got to get chocolate. I got to go to chocolate.
Yeah, see,
that's my go-to.
I might take these passes back. Chocolate.
But yeah, I'll see you. I would love to see you again.
You might not. If you have a chocolate frosty. I don't know.
Oh, come on, bro.
Hang on. Hang on, Chris. Right. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. You got it.
Listen, you know that you know where I stand. I agree with you on
we did this enough,
but we're not going to deny the man his tickets because he likes the chocolate frosty better than the vanilla frosty.
It's awful.
Can't do that.
It's awful.
That's terrible.
Awful. Awful.
You and I agree that the vanilla frosty is better.
It is,
but we can't deny the man his tickets just because he likes the chocolate one.
I got to find the young lady on Twitter because she was on Danny's side. She said, "Did you say vanilla?" Yes, I did.
We did a poll.
Yes, I did.
That's how much we wanted to get people's,
and we ripped it up. Killed it. Let me see. Where's she at here on Twitter? Where is she? I have to scroll through a lot. I'm sorry. And then I'll find it. But anyway, we got some phone calls we got to get to. And I think it was Terry. Was it Terry? Yeah, Terry. I got to call out Terry on the show here. Because she says, please tell me you didn't say vanilla. Terry Lynn's 68. T-E-R-I. L-Y-N-S 68. Yes, I did, Terry. Yes, I did. And I'm going to say it right now and reply to her on Twitter and over the air. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. All right, we come back. We got Arthur wants to talk about John Tortorella. Callie, Ray, close out the show with the leftovers from Tyler Zuli right here on this Thursday, on Tuesday night. Not Thursday, that's the draft right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that funk. Javon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
All right, 9:33, final segment here on this Tuesday night. I'll be back tomorrow beginning at 6 o'clock following the afternoon show. Tyrone Johnson, Jen Scordo, and Tom Alvord. I'll be here tomorrow. Tyler will have the next few days off. So I'll be with you going forward without Tyler. And we have the NBA draft on Thursday. So we'll have you all squared away. We have you all covered. Everything will be good. And next week, I think I'm doing mornings next week, all week, except for Friday. So, yeah, the rest of this week until 10. Thursday, I believe, 7 to 11 because of starting at 7 after Cousins Corner with Anthony Gargano. And then the draft goes a little bit deeper as well. So with the draft going a little bit deeper into the evening, we're going to stay on until 11 o'clock and hope to have the Sixers pick in with us on the air. And we'll do that. So should be a fun time. Draft will start around 8 o'clock and we should have the pick in. And we might have it before 10, but just to be sure and be able to talk about it, have a good talking point, take your phone calls thereafter, whether it's a deal to take a player like who was it? Jaden Hardy, the young player from the G League Ignite team where the young players come in and they go right to the pros. But in this way, a different way for them to do so, that's where they, you know, these young players, we saw Jalen Green do it. We saw Jonathan Kuminga do it. And there are three who could potentially be in the first round. Three that could be scattered from the first round to early second, late first and then early second. There is talent. But Jaden Hardy, Keith Pompey reported that he worked out for the 76ers in a group of six. And that's a name that could potentially be a name where the Sixers decide to go in that direction and take that young player to come in and play. He can score. He can score. He has a lot to work on, but he can score.
And quite frankly, with a guy like that who you said has a lot to work on, but he can score, this team desperately needs somebody who can fill it up a little bit. Somebody who can put the ball in the hoop off the bench.
He can do it. It's just a matter of can he do it on the pro level.
Right, and I'm sure that's going to come into question as, you know, the draft selection comes about, especially if they do take him. But when I think about all these players that are like, yeah, man, he's really well-rounded, but the ceiling's kind of low, or, you know, he's going to be, you know, this kind of player. At this point with the Sixers, I don't care about the young guys, the selection of the young guys, because of the fact that A, Doc doesn't play them hardly ever anyway, and B, they are in a position where they need veterans and they need winning. They need to win quickly. Get me somebody who has one discernible, really, really, really good trait. And if that's filling it up at an elite level, then at this point, if he's there, I don't think you pass up on a guy like that.
Yeah, so it should be some good talent there. So we're all curious at this point to see where it goes. But he's definitely a talent. Can he score on this level? Can he give you that? Can he provide that type of stuff coming off the bench? We will find out. Dyson Daniels is the one that might go like in the top 10, top 15. He might go lottery in general. Dyson Daniels as a player who from the G League Ignite team could go very high to a team. By the way, my favorite player in the draft, Keegan Murray from Iowa, the twin.
That's yeah, my favorite. You've been very high on him.
Yeah, that's my guy. Detroit, Sacramento, Indiana, it seems like he's 4, 5, 6 range, where it's really Sac, Detroit, and Indiana. That's the order. But 4, 5, 6, it looks like he'll be around there. Love that guy. Love that guy. All right, Arthur in University City with us here on this Tuesday night. Arthur, how you doing?
How you doing? Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
How you doing, man?
Doing well, thank you.
I'm a first-time caller and love the show.
Thank you.
And love the co-host, too, Tyler. He's really good. I like to hear his thoughts on things.
That's my guy. He's got 9:45. He's got the leftovers where he brings some stories we didn't talk about. So make sure you listen into that one, too, Arthur. Thank you.
Yes. And growing up in North Philly, people found it strange that hockey was my favorite sport. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I remember when the Flyers won it in 74 and 75. And, you know, it's sad what's been going on the last 10 years. But I'm excited about Coach John Tortorella. I think he's going to hold everybody on that team, even certain members of the upstairs office group. He's going to hold everybody accountable.
Hope so. And
he's got a ring with Tampa Bay in 2004, so the man knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he does.
You know,
and he said as much. He said he was going to hold people accountable for and coach these guys up, be tough on them when need be. But that's something that he wants to do. He said it's not going to be easy to turn things around, but we will see exactly where it goes. That's what he said yesterday on the morning show.
It's going to be a fun season. It really is. Mm-hmm. I'm liking the Phillies. I'm so glad they got everything squared away. Pitching's a little iffy, but, you know, stuff. Can't wait for Jalen Hurts to kick it up in September.
Yeah, really, so we're all looking forward to that, whether you like him already and you have a good feeling or if you have your concerns but want to see if he's going to come back and improve. What are your thoughts on him, Arthur?
I think he's improving. I think he really is. From what I read during the OTAs, I was like, wow. The guy's arm has improved already. He must have just, you know, stayed on the field night in and night out, and worked on his arm, lift weights, got his arm motion, you know, in cohesion with everybody else in the league. So I can't wait till September starts, man. The fall season is going to be fun.
It is, man.
Coach.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts is going to. It's just going to be an exciting time.
Hey, no excuses. No excuses.
No excuses this year. There's no excuses. Everybody's going to be held accountable this year.
No excuses. What do you have on a TV show for us, Arthur? One that doesn't get enough credit.
You might not believe this. And I think this is probably one of the best shows I've seen on television because of its raw acting and the dialogue script. I thought The Sons of Anarchy was one of the best shows I've ever seen.
Okay. And yeah, I've never seen it. I don't know where people rank that, but I do know that a lot of people really, really like that show.
It was powerful, and the Emmy voters and the Emmy writers never gave it a sniff, you know.
Really?
It was like, and I couldn't understand it because, you know, that type, they couldn't have ran that over the regular channels, 3, 6, and 10. They couldn't have ran that over that show was just, it was just amazing. It was really, to me, it was amazing. I was like, they need more shows like that on TV.
I got you. Arthur, thanks. Don't be a stranger, man. Really appreciate it. Would you want to qualify and come hang out with us October 1st?
I would sure love to.
You know what? Well, you hang on. Tyler will get your information. Arthur, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. And we'll figure out where these 5 passes go. Thank you, Arthur. Don't be a stranger again. And we'll talk to you down the line. Sons of Anarchy, I haven't seen that one. But as far as he talked about with the birds and all, I haven't, you know, we're all excited about the birds. We're all looking forward to it. Some expectations this season. They keep saying rebuild. Not anymore. Not anymore. Not saying that they're great. And you go out there and you get Tart now. You have an extra a safety out there. Jaquiski Tart from San Francisco. Got another body out there in the secondary. They're doing stuff. They're doing stuff. We go to West Philly. My man Callie. Callie.
Hey, what's up, Devon? What's up, Kyle?
What's going on, man?
I'm chilling, man. I'm chilling watching the Phillies game whole week. Get a run in.
Yeah, how about that, man? I mean, leaving guys on base and, you know, and now I think, did they just give it? They just gave up a home run. You had to say something.
Oh, man. My fault, Philly. I ain't mean to do that to us.
A solo shot, so it's not something that they can't come back from. But they left. They've already left a few men on base when and some opportunities put a run on the board. Now they're down 1-0 in the fifth. Kyle Gibson, though, so far.
He's doing a good job, though, tonight.
Yeah, he is.
Doing a solid job.
Coming off the last game where he went 8 innings strong, yeah.
Yeah, but I want to talk about the Sixers, man.
Go for it.
Now, Doc Rivers, I listened to the media. I even forgave him for the 3-1 losses that he put up in with the Clippers. But anytime you at the podium and you make somebody cringeworthy, I can't forgive him for what he did to Paul Reed that night. After I watched Paul Reed hustle.
Oh, when he said it's not like Paul Reed night or something?
We ain't going on a Paul Reed tour.
It was
cringeworthy. It was like, I went to sleep that night. Like, why did he do that to him?
Yeah.
Like why, man? And then it's like, to watch the playoffs come up, and we watch football all the time. You know, the coaches lose the locker room. I'm watching Doc Rivers beg them to play hard. Come on, y'all, play with some heart.
Mm-hmm.
After what happened in game 5, there's no way they couldn't have heart. I just feel like he lost the locker room, and it's like, we try not to have egg on our face, so we just try to, like, you know, go with the motions and, you know, say the right things at the podium and stuff like that. But
yeah.
I don't think Doc Rivers is the guy watching Girardi just leave and watching Rob Thomas, what they doing. I don't know if Doc Rivers is, you know, I don't know if he could pull a Rob Thomas out. I just don't get it.
I'm not the biggest fan, so I hear you. But he's coming back. And you only hope that he adjusts as well.
Yeah, man. And one more thing, Devon. What you think about us bringing in like a veteran? Like, I like Tyreek Evans, man. Like, I like these guys like Michael Beasley. We need some heart on the toughness on the team. Go get them guys a look, man. Michael Beasley. Like, give Michael Beasley a look, man. I don't think he washed, but we dealt with.
Well, he's doing the big three right now, Callie. And I'm sure teams are paying attention. And I'm sure his agent will also reach out to teams to see where there might be any interest in him getting back into the NBA. That's an interesting one, and I also don't know how any of them feel, Doc Rivers or Daryl Morey or Elton Brand, about him as a player. I have no idea. No clue.
Yeah, man. He's a tough player, man. Tyreek Evans, too. Bring Tyreek home, man.
And see again the workouts and see what he does. I wonder if he does something like the Summer League just to kind of put it out there. To let people know,
man.
You know? Yeah. By the way, Callie, they just gave up another shot, solo shot, so it's 2-0 in the fifth.
My fault.
With two outs, too. With two outs, so.
I want the city to blame me tomorrow. Hopefully we can come back, man. My fault,
y'all. Oh, good, man. Callie, you got a TV show for us?
Dude, man. My throwback is New York Undercover, man.
Yo, I wrote that down.
Can't go wrong with the nice performance at the end. You don't know who's going to perform at the end. Good show, you know, for some good topics. Great show.
I wrote that one down, man. I really did as a show. That's a really good one. Listen, man, thanks for the call. We'll talk to you down. Hey, draft this week, man. I need to hear from you either this week or next week with the free agency kicking off. We got to talk, man. Callie, always good to hear from you.
Thanks, man.
You got it, man. Appreciate it. Well, it's that time. 9:46. We're a minute late. I hear the music. The screeching tires. Let's get to it.
Yeah, let's do it. We'll start in the NBA because we talked about a team today that may be interesting to the Sixers, and that would be the Houston Rockets. In the absolutely nobody is shocked move of the day, Houston Rockets guard John Wall exercised his $47.4 million player option.
Did he?
How shocked are you?
I am stunned.
Stunned beyond disbelief.
Stunned.
Obviously, he did not play for a majority of last season. He played 40 games in 2020-2021, where he averaged over almost 21 points and 7 assists per game. However, the Rockets and John Wall agreed it would be best for him to shut him down late in the season. And then, of course, he sat out the entirety of last year as the team builds around Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. But the five-time All-Star, obviously, was probably not going to get anything close to that elsewhere on the free agent market. So we decided that he was going to take one more big payday before testing the free agent waters the following season.
I am stunned by this. Now what? Are they going to finally move him? Are we going to continue to hear about swapping him for Russell Westbrook?
Again?
Nobody's doing that.
Again?
So now what? You just opted him 47. All right, you opted him 47, and now they're going to work on something, he and Rich Paul, to try to get him out of there. To where?
It's like the third highest AAV next season. Like, money per year?
Where's
he
going?
The third highest in the league.
Where's he going to go with that ridiculous number and nobody's seen him play basketball? We've seen workout videos, small ones. People talk, so yeah, maybe John Lucas is saying that he's doing this. But of course, if he's doing this, John Lucas wants him to be able to work and play because he wants to play. Of course, he's going to tell people. Now, John Lucas is kind of like a guy who tells the truth. But my point is, who is going to take John Wall for $47 million? I don't care if it's one season. Crazy. But I'm shocked.
Turn your salary cap off on 2K. That's
I'm
how you
shocked.
Get it done. We'll go from a move that is totally unsurprising to a move that is... Well, if it would have been the first time that this happened, maybe surprising, but at this point, we await with bated breath for the return eventually, and that is Tampa Bay Buccaneers tight end Rob Gronkowski is, well, let's use the word tentatively, calling it a career for the second time in three seasons. The 33-year-old decided today that he would not return to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or to the NFL in general, and he would retire instead. Now, of course, you know that Rob Gronkowski spent most of his career with the New England Patriots before being coaxed out of retirement by Tom Brady as the two headed back to Tampa Bay to catch up once again. Gronk, since 2010, since entering the league, has the most touchdowns in the NFL with 92. The only players that are even remotely close are Jimmy Graham at 85 and Antonio Brown at 83. However, Gronk's agent told ESPN's Adam Schefter today that he would not be shocked if he was once again coaxed out of retirement at some point in either the late stages of the offseason or into the regular season by his good buddy, Tom Brady.
Not surprised that he decides to hang it up, right? He was already done until Brady came back. He gave two more seasons. He's a Hall of Famer, one of the greatest of all time. Not shocked, not surprised by this at all. Good for him. Live it up, Gronk. Well, he already does that.
Well,
so
you know he does
keep
that.
Keep living it up.
This is an interesting story development here because we have all, over the course of our lives, made bad financial investments, made bad decisions, right? It happens. That's what being human being is. However, this financial decision cost one player in the NFL $24 million. That is, of course, the former number one overall pick and now second-year quarterback Trevor Lawrence, who took $24 million of his initial rookie contract in cryptocurrency. That's become a trend, obviously, over the last couple of years as crypto continued to rise. You saw Russell Okung do it, and so many others have done it over the years where they take a portion of their salary in crypto. However, that $24 million is now worth less than $9 million, and Trevor Lawrence right now on his rookie salary is set to face a 62.7% loss because of the crypto decline.
Why so much? Why did he have? Why, you know what I mean? If you believe in it, okay, cool. But why do so much? See if it works first. Let that accumulate with a lower number, potentially. Why so much? My goodness.
Well, the reason that they're doing it was because there was no indication that crypto was going to drop the way that it has over the last calendar year. Sure, but everything that's happened in the last 3 years with crypto and Bitcoin specifically has been encouraging, and it's all gone up, up, up. And I get you. I totally understand it.
I'm too weird with my money to be doing something like that. So we think differently as far as he goes.
So you're not a big stock market guy.
No, I'm not.
Understood. I get it. There's a lot of hesitancy.
I don't feel like I have enough to do it
the
way I might want to.
Totally get it. There's a lot of hesitancy in it because it's not a guarantee that you're going to make money. But $24 million is a lot of money to lose. All right, one final story really one quickly. As the MLS continues to be a great, great recruiter, and if it shows that if you give the MLS enough revenue and enough money, they could become a much bigger factor in the soccer world, because the Columbus Crew have acquired striker Juan Camilo Hernandez from England's Watford in what is now a league record-setting deal, as the 23-year-old is signed through the 2025 season. The Crew agreed to a transfer fee of over $10 million, which is the largest incoming transfer fee in MLS history, as the league just continues to get better and stockpile talent, young talent, and continue to become a more and more important league across the world.
Wow. $10 mil?
$10 million transfer fee.
Okay. You got
and
it.
And Watford said, sure, we'll take it.
We'll take it. Yeah, $10 mil. Let's do it. Let's do it.
But the MLS continues to grow as we get closer and closer to the World Cup.
That's cool, man.
And that's our leftovers for Tuesday night.
That is too cool. Thank you, Tyler. I got to ask you a couple of things before we get out of here. Quick rapid fire for you. First of all, the Michigan State player, I'm thinking, as I looked at the mock draft, Max Christie, maybe they were talking about that earlier when he brought it up. So Max Christie, but he's probably going to be, again, he's going to need, you have to buy a draft pick. All right, number one pick for you will be who? Since you won't be here?
Paolo Banchero.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sticking with Jabari Smith. And what happens with the number 23 overall pick?
I believe that the Sixers will select somebody and eventually trade that player.
Okay, that's the rules. Anyway, they have to take them if they are trading anyway. They have to take the player on Thursday night at pick number 23. Will Jordan Hall or Colin Gillespie, St. Joe's and Villanova, will one of them or both be drafted?
In totality? Yes, I think at some point they will. Second round.
Second round. Okay, you got it, man. Listen, thanks to all the callers, listeners, tweets. Really appreciate it. Be back tomorrow at 6. Todd, thanks so much. Have a good time off, man. We'll talk to you. Good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.